This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening, everybody, or good morning, or good afternoon, whatever it is, wherever you are. Hi, it's Clayton McKee alongside Kat Carlson and Al Perkins coming to you live from Studio C in the lovely 91-degree Phoenix, Arizona.
It's fantastic.
It's still low.
It's nice for this
time of year. It's still low for this time of year.
Yeah, we're not at, oh, but dear God, get me
nobody's
the hell.
Nobody's complaining yet.
No, but I think later in the week or early next week is when we go to full tilt 108 degrees.
Regular. Then I leave town.
Oh, and this just in, Kat Carlson got in her pool for the first time today.
I sure did. It's pool season, kids.
Wow.
I'm so proud of you.
I know. It took me about a half hour.
Well, just to slowly, like one toe, and then an ankle.
Yeah, just like a toe, and yeah, like feet for a minute, and then I was like, I don't know about this.
I have to
just
jump.
And then my feet numbed right up, and I was like, well, maybe.
Feet numbed right up.
Yeah, I'm usually a just jump kind of a girl, but the first one of the season is always a little timid, because I'm not really, I haven't committed yet.
Well, right.
You know, from here on out, I'm just committed, and I'll just dive right in.
But, sure.
You know, the first one, I wasn't quite sure that I was going all the way in yet.
Very good. I don't know. Mom hasn't. Usually, she'll text me if she's gotten in the pool so far, but haven't received that text from her yet as to whether or not she has. She's in the chat room. Hi, everybody. Bear Walker and Richard Anant is there, as well as Harrison and my mom.
I like that we live in a place where that's a landmark. Like, oh. Pool's open.
Pool's open.
That's
the first day of the season.
Really, this is really late.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah, totally.
I mean, Tim and I were always proud if we could get the pool open by March 8th. That was always our
March 8th was
our
goal.
Yeah. I don't know what it was. It's my sister's birthday, so I think that's why I always keep that date in mind.
Oh, they would just show up.
Yeah, that second week of March, I wanted to be like enjoying the festivities.
Late April is kind of our thing.
But we had a heated pool though, so we were a little spoiled. All we needed was sunshine.
Sure.
I'm guessing.
And plus, it's usually by the end of March, it's usually in the 90s.
Right, yeah. We're a little warmer. Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess that this also, like we just had Memorial Day weekend, I'm sure there were some pool parties that were not quite as festive because the pool was a little cooler.
Sure. Yeah.
Or not,
they just weren't about the pool.
Not used at all, right. It's just a backdrop. We'll just walk around the pool.
Yeah. Float your drinks, buy a floater.
Sure.
That sounds wrong, a floater.
That's usually in
she's
your eye.
She's face down, yeah. She's face down that floater.
That kind of floater.
I was thinking totally different.
You were thinking shit in a pool.
No. Oh, no. I was thinking like...
Oh, three.
No. Three entirely different definitions. No, a floater to me is what I was thinking of was in your eyes, when there's something in your eye that is bad and there's
a
floater
yeah.
that you... Yeah, like you have glaucoma or whatever.
No, that's actually just...
Or cataract, I mean, is what I meant.
It's actually none of the above. I just read an article actually about that, about sometimes when you're like just looking at someplace clear and usually pretty bright and you see kind of
little
like the
protein
weird wormy
squigglies.
Things.
Yeah.
Right. That's just stuff that lives in your eye normally and it's just an ideal viewing situation, which is why they're moving all the time and
very
you
busy.
Can never quite see them.
Gay.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's a conversation.
I read a lot of things.
Jenny and I are now Facebook friends.
Nice.
Oh.
Yay.
Yes, Bear. The baby
Ruth
flutter. Why do
they find you first all the time?
Under a different name.
I want to be the first contact for somebody.
Well, I was able to tag Dr. Ben Carlson.
I saw that. I was so excited. Dr. Ben Carlson, I get like an update every couple of days that Dr. Ben Carlson is getting views. I need to start adding content, apparently. Yeah, just
well,
the other day it was like
Dr. A selfie stick and a
I've got all kinds
dream.
Of things happening. I know.
I'm still got to figure out what you're doing. You probably can't really. Well, it's kind of hard to see.
It's kind of hidden.
Yeah, now
I'm gonna stick it in the chat room too.
New listener, Chloe.
Who is it? Oh, hi, Chloe. Oh, with the little thingy, Chloe.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Hi,
whoever you are. Welcome. For those of you watching the show broadcast live, you'll see just to the left of Kat's little video screen is a smaller video screen. She's got some new app called Periscope that she's found, and she's trying to get people to follow her to watch her every move.
I know fairly little about it yet, except for that it was...
And it's been on your phone an hour.
Well, it was an Apple-only app since March, and it's a video streaming app.
Yeah.
And it was only available to the Kool-Aid drinkers in March, and so clearly I was very upset and agitated.
Sure.
And so when I read the news just today that it was available... to Android users as of today, I immediately downloaded it.
Jumped right on that.
I jumped right on it, and I am now searching for a use
Sure.
For said
You'll
app.
Find one.
I'm finding one right now. I'm broadcasting live from the studio. I have zero
no followers.
I have
though,
zero
see.
Viewers at the moment.
So if we got to figure out
so about Periscope. This about the same number. What's that?
How do we down Periscope?
Well,
to
go to your app store.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm very excited because I'm like, well, I just got accused of not being a Kool-Aid drinker.
I like Kool-Aid.
And while reluctant, I did drink all of it.
All right, I'm installing Periscope as we speak.
Type in Periscope, the traditional spelling.
And then we're going to...
traditional.
Well, because sometimes
okay,
these apps,
the worst
they spell
part is,
shit
is
weird.
That's my thing at work. Now you're just stealing shit from me.
Here's the thing. All the things that are wonderfully funny in me, I have probably stolen from someone else.
Well,
and
yeah,
I just
mine are probably stolen, too.
Right.
So well, it's
yeah,
not like we're well, just the same person.
Yeah.
That's so funny, because yeah. I'll do that when I'm like reading off someone's name. I'm like, the traditional spelling.
Right.
So it's through Twitter.
Yeah, it's connected to Twitter. Like I logged in.
I am not a twat, so I cannot.
No, play. That's okay. I think you may still be able to.
I have a Twitter
about people who haven't called me one.
Right? I have a
but
Twitter.
I don't I'm a twat.
I don't
either.
Believe. Yeah. I can't see well, that yes, it's
hello.
Like.
Well, thanks. Hello.
I can't see that it's telling like the Twitterverse what I'm doing right now because I'm on my
it's
own Twitter.
It's just from Twitter.
It's right.
You know.
Yeah.
Oh no! It also says, and I'm reading the little swipes of her. When a broadcaster is live, they're sharing video, audio, and location. So
no, I turned location.
Okay. Well, apparently that's a. I thought it was an absolute.
City. No, that's an option.
Got it. All right. Oh, they can interact with the broadcaster in real time.
They sure can. They could like comment.
I know
right
we're all
there,
reading it along. Like, yeah. Okay.
This is stimulating radio.
So now I have to
get started. Well, sign up with Twitter. I'm out.
All right. Well, then.
I'm not a twat.
It's okay.
Since I'm already a twat.
I have all of the accounts. I have the Twitter. I've got Instagram. I've got. I even have.
About not being a twat. I really am.
Yeah.
I just don't twatter.
And Jenny, Anant is in the room with you somewhere.
It doesn't
I don't know where.
Sound right.
He may be behind something. Look around. Look around a little. You might see him.
Oh, when you go into it, it finds the app of Twitter already on your phone and then tells you and it immediately associates it.
Says, hey, log
hi,
you
look,
in.
Look at
hey,
you,
look
bitch.
At you, honey.
You're
also,
already
I'm trying to in. Press on these things, but it's not doing anything. Do you notice that? Is yours?
I don't. I don't know
stimulating
what's
radio.
It so really is.
We're couple of us.
I'm gonna sweep that.
Create account. There we go.
Installing the Periscope. We'll see how it goes.
It's very good.
And it's not that I'm not interested in Twitter. It's just that I just feel that I should be cut off at some point from how many ways I can insult people.
But here, let me tell you what the best. Go ahead. You go ahead. Oh, yeah, two things. You got
okay,
one. I got
you
one.
You go. You want to go first?
No, you go.
Okay.
It's your show.
Because all right. Because I was gonna say
I used to be accused of that.
Because I was gonna say I'm in the process of revamping my entire social media strategy to include, cross. Posting and really insulting people across all formats.
Good.
Because I have.
How Barry Barbara Seville of you. Yeah.
I have yet to meet a social media site that I didn't like.
Yeah.
I made sure.
Okay.
And they love you.
For real. Because, I love you too. Yeah.
They love them.
Yeah.
Oh.
I do as well.
I don't necessarily post to all of them yet. I just redid my Hootsuite, and so I should be able to post to more of them. But I have.
Your what?
Like Hootsuite.
Okay.
It's a. Hootsuite. It's an app that is helpful
Hi,
for
Mark.
Scheduling posts.
Safe
and
flying.
But anyway, so yeah, I have an account at Twitter. I have there was like a wannabe Facebook killer called Elo for a minute. I have an account there. There's one called Path that is apparently very popular in South Korea. I have an account there.
Oh,
for all your stuff.
just in case it becomes really popular here.
Yeah.
Just in case. Because I like to be an early adopter.
There are 2,234,060 followers on featured people on Periscope. That's wild.
That's a lot of Periscopers.
Yeah. So I'm just looking under. Are you Dr. Ben or are you?
No, Cat Carlson.
Okay. Dr. Ben hasn't made it this far. He's
not
learning.
Yet.
Traditional spelling.
traditional spelling. Yeah.
The username is actually Cat Carlson PHX.
Oh,
I got it.
Fancy.
Yeah, it's fine. Oh, look at that.
Three recent.
Well, sure, because I think I did one while I was driving.
You. The That's best good. And hottest bartender in Phoenix, by chance, is that you?
Totally.
Yeah, I found you.
Wow.
Oh. Self-proclaimed.
who the hell is that?
I'm going to watch live.
I don't know.
What's the picture that you have on that
that's
profile?
That's Timothy Hutton from Ordinary People.
Okay.
Oh,
got
there
it.
Is a distinct similarity.
There is a likeness, isn't there?
Clayton.
Oh, well, okay. Hey,
I've got a listener.
I just followed you, too.
All right.
Oh, my God. This is going to be...
This is so
oh my
exciting.
God!
This is good stuff.
So
well, now it shows you have two followers. Was this 24 follow? Oh, that's your Twitter feed. My bad.
I believe I'm following 24.
Okay.
Well, that's a new way to watch this.
Oh,
if we all had our
I was your first follower. This is exciting.
Look at that.
Oh, there is. You got to
early
before
adopter,
you.
By she's the way, first there are follower. Very few things that
on
I
the Periscope.
First.
Right. You're an early adopter.
Time.
You're an early adopter.
Look at you.
And I love that Bear talks about Hootsuite, but JJ with sugar. Yeah.
W-T-F.
And we have to have, I mean, as, with all the different things that are going on in the world and weather, Anant is in India with
no
oh my
water.
God, people
their
are
hottest
dying.
Temperature, highest temperature Ooh. Ever.
Like 118, I
and
saw.
What did they say? Two-thirds of the country has no access. Two-thirds of the country has no access to, either one-third or two-thirds has no access to electricity.
Well, there it is.
There's no relief.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Oh. I know.
Clayton McKee just joined my feed.
I did.
Look at that.
Look at you looking at you.
Look at me.
Look at that.
I know.
Oh.
Look at me looking at you, looking at me, looking at you. Look at that.
Wait a minute. You look doubly good.
Oh, right, dog. It showed me right? that you dog. That's cool.
How do we get the sound?
I would presume to turn your volume down.
I know,
down.
But I already had like...
I don't.
The only way that it wouldn't, if she deactivated her mic on her phone, but she's broadcasting because people outside of here
they
should really
like
be watching her.
No, but I already had it.
I should think
I already
so,
had
yeah.
it there, so
yeah,
I thought
like
that was
should.
Enough, but
oh,
not.
No. That's for the that's for your ringer. I have learned that the hard way many times.
Yeah.
Well, it's exciting to see you in my little...
Look at that. You
also,
can see all every
also
eye
when
roll.
You're doing that, like, it's interesting because she's doing something completely different.
Well, because there's
right.
a little so broadcasting
the
delay.
The delay
is
yeah.
happening.
Kind of exciting.
Sure.
It's like double
what,
mute.
I just wait here and see what she does next.
Wait. I'm not going to look at her at all.
Oh.
I love that we can make this four separate podcasts.
Like, right. Everybody's doing their
five.
Own fucking thing. Because
why not?
Five.
Oh, yes.
No, I said everyone's doing
this. It would be four if you were doing your own. It would be five total. She's right.
Oh,
in charge of all math.
I never said the word four. I just said everyone's doing
said
their
four.
Own separate podcast.
Oh, I thought you said four.
I did see. Look at that. I
Play
no
it back.
Well, it's going to happen on your phone in about 10
wait.
Seconds.
No, it'll happen in her phone in about 10 seconds. Mine
minute,
is in real time. Yeah. Turn it back up. What did he say?
Good times.
Oh, that's good. And look at all this stuff. Richard going through 32 degrees Celsius with heavy rain. Now, wait.
Let's do 32 degrees Celsius
Let me look. That's about 100.
About 100. Okay.
Yeah.
He's in Canada, in above New York, I believe, isn't he? Richard, I believe.
I thought it was...
In Canada?
Canada is where...
Is it on our list?
In Canada, above New York, but on that
my
side.
My girlfriend,
yeah.
who lives in Canada.
Yeah, because Stephen's on the other side, I believe.
Oh, very humid where you are, Jen. Oh, Jenny's asking.
Mm. Oh, good. Jenny's
terrible.
In charge of questions that I will take notes on.
Thank you, Jenny, for moderating the chat room. Very good.
And it's just been wild because, like Bear said, if you had a pool there, it would still be frozen. Minnesota has just been, hi, Nero. Minnesota's just been crazy, obviously, right next door. I mean, but watching and seeing more about that. Mm-hmm. My friend Bomberg always put shit on Facebook, Dear Mother Nature. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Dear Mother Nature, join AA, because you're pissing me off.
So
you know,
they're trying to figure, you know how every time weather happens, somebody, some religious zealot has to come out and figure out how to blame somebody for it.
Okay.
Well, there was
in Texas.
I'm assuming that it's an onion-like website, which was kind of funny. I just read it moments ago on Facebook that Pat Robertson is in a quandary because since Texas is such a gun-toting, gay-hating state, he doesn't quite know who to blame the floods on.
Yeah.
he said he'll get back to us and figure out somehow to tie it in. Not sure.
They do it all correctly.
That's funny.
But somebody counterpointed it was saying, well, Ireland just accepted everything in a double rainbow, so they're good.
Yeah. And now...
How fantastic is that, by the way?
What country, another country just passed today, was it...
Oh, I did not see that.
Oh, somebody's got to help us. Because we don't have Google. We have too many devices to actually find Google. But
if only I had a way.
Some European country, another one, just voted it in.
I don't see it on kind of the top news. I'll find it, though.
Cat will get on that.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
And it wasn't a popular vote. It was like the legislation.
Oh, Bear, you are funny.
Was it Buddy that made the post a couple days ago in regards to, I hope that... You know, civil rights are not voted on for the rest of the world. You know, it's like...
I always say that, too. I mean, it's good that it passed, but you don't vote on people's civil rights.
Right.
Because, you know, in the 50s and 60s, that wouldn't have gone well for the vote.
Oh, my gosh.
No, that's very true. Very true. Okay, so I'm trying to learn the Celsius thing. So 27, it was 32 for Richard, right? So it's like 97-ish.
So the easiest way to do it, it's not completely accurate, but you double it, so it's 54 and add 32. So it's about 86. You're in a range of, you're in like high
80s. Got it, okay.
That's not like 100% accurate. It's really like 5/9 or 9/5.
Well, I happened to find a Fahrenheit to Celsius converter online.
If you typed into Google Celsius to Fahrenheit, Google has its own.
But I'm just saying the conversion thing.
The
easy way to do it in your head is just
a lot of math.
Double it, add 32. That's a real...
89 degrees.
0.6 in fact.
Bingo.
It's like you're in the high 90s. It just gives you a ballpark of, and all you need to know is 40 you're done.
Okay.
When you get to 40 degrees Celsius, it's time to move indoors.
And with them, you know how water boils at 212 in Fahrenheit? Mm-hmm. Water boils at 100 in Celsius. Water freezes at 32.
Yeah.
Water freezes at zero.
So you only go 0 to 100. It's Celsius makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
We were just too stupid in the 70s. Like, we just did not want to play along.
Or we were giving in to anybody.
I mean, we legislated that we should convert, but we just never did.
Mm. Oh, look at that. Vatican says Ireland gay marriage vote is defeat for humanity. Oh, no, Bear, that's not my nursing-ness. That's my growing up next to Canada-ness with half the news being Canadian. So
that's a good point.
Depending on what station you were watching for your weather, you either got it in Celsius or you got it in Fahrenheit.
Oh, gotcha.
So you had to learn.
Right.
Some way to determine
what the fuck they were talking
shorts
about.
Shorts or a parka.
Do I wear a caftan today? No.
Yeah, so I want to know if that... Because Aaron has given us that quote that the Vatican says Ireland gay marriage vote is defeat for humanity. Now, is that coming from the Vatican or from Frank himself?
Or from the Onion.
Yeah. No. I believe the Vatican would say that.
Jenny has her girlfriend has her heater on, or is that your girlfriend
it's
your
below
heater?
80.
Oh, there's that. And where Anand is where, and it's she said 120. Did I see that on the chat room?
India is having the worst heat. Like people, they're actually keeping a death toll for people who are dying because of the heat.
Yeah,
it was over 10 the last time I looked. Like people that have just straight up died.
Anand,
from heat.
I'm glad that you can be with us, but keep yourself cool for God's sake.
And it's another one of those countries that has so many mountainous areas and small villages and towns that don't have access to electricity.
Then. Oh, so
they have,
just
there's just
suffering.
No relief coming. Yeah.
Right.
It wasn't the Vatican per se. It says a senior Vatican official has attacked the legislation, proclaiming that it was a defeat for humanity. Cardinal, I'm going to say Parolin.
Parolin. Mm-hmm.
Well,
it was a cardinal.
It's not like they're forcing everybody to do it. They're just saying, if you want to, you can. It's not like defeat for humanity, whatever.
Yeah,
right. It's just giving you the ability to do what you want.
I just wanted to make sure it didn't come from Frank because he's bidding.
Frank's
been pretty on the up and up lately.
Aaron got a link and put it in there. He said he was gonna
My favorite thing is when Bill Maher says that he's secretly an atheist.
Mm.
I'll get in under the guise of a Catholic.
He was hiding down in South America for all those years. All right, Kat, what did you do last week?
What did I do? Oh, I spent... I actually had a really great Memorial Day weekend. I spent Saturday at a golf outing, a fundraiser golf outing for the kids' school. And so basically I was hanging out with the boozy moms and golfing and drinking all day.
You love those boozy moms.
I do love
them. I need to get a kid in school to meet some boozy moms.
I had a boozy lunch with those bitches today.
You wear the right dress.
Yeah. You'll be...
The best part is I'm very rarely seen attached to a child, but they've just accepted that it's that it's a thing and that I belong there. And
Kat will be here.
But yeah, had a really great time golfing and drinking and so on and so forth.
Carrying on.
Ended up because... Clearly, apparently, I'm the captain of the after party. So as the party's winding down, everybody goes, "Kat, where are we going?" And I was like, "Let's go to Ernie's."
Nice.
Not Ernie's,
no,
but
I understood.
Yeah, there's a bar in Scottsdale,
32nd Street, and Scottsdale Road and Shea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A classy joint. Real classy joint.
Yes, been there a number
clearly
of times.
We had a great time.
The name again?
Ernie's.
It's a karaoke bar.
I am familiar. Yeah.
So I had never been, but it was really close to where we were, so we decided to go there. And it's such a classy joint that it didn't occur to anybody that they might serve food. Mm-hmm. Right? Or that it would be food that you would want to eat.
Sure,
so
sure.
We didn't even think to ask, didn't think to anything. We got drinks and went and sat down, and one of the girls all of a sudden just turned up ravenously, like, chew your arm off hungry. So we're like, okay, NYPD is across the parking lot. Yeah. Why don't we get you a pizza?
You can just STFU.
Right. So we ordered the pizza and, you know, asked for delivery. And then apparently that was taking too long because she was like literally like gnawing on my elbow. So I'm like, why don't I just walk across the parking lot and go get your pizza for you? I'm going to do that.
Or
so
just
I go,
steal something. Steal something off someone's table.
So I go, traipse my happy ass across the parking lot, pick up the pizza, bring it back, walk into the bar like nothing, you know, holding the pizza up over my head like you do.
People start offering you money for it?
No, the manager came over and said, you can't have that here. You have to go.
Oh,
hi.
We're like, okay. So then the bartender comes over after the manager has, you know, basically asked us to leave. And the bartender was like, no, don't leave. What you can do, because it's the one half of it, it's all like open windows.
Yeah.
All these like, you know, Florida low ceiling, right, open archway windows. So he basically said, hey, why don't you climb out and sit on the ledge of the window and you can eat your pizza right there.
Oh, because that's what you do.
So that's what you do. So this is what we did. Yeah.
So if it works,
forgive me. I might have missed part of this story.
Sure.
Is it a bar that doesn't serve food, or they just were going to take too long to serve you food?
It's so classy. It never occurred to anyone that there would be food prepared. Oh, okay, in this
got
building.
It. So guilty by.
Yeah, they're no longer a sponsor.
Okay.
No, you know what? They were very nice to us, but you know, you walk in and it's an old bar in an old part of you know, in an old part of a strip mall, and it's been there forever, and it clearly has, and you know it. And it's like got all of these open windows on the one side, and so it's like cigarette filled because it barely passes the whole you know, outdoor whatever, and which is totally fine. I have no problems with any of these things. I love sitting in old diving bars.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it was just one of those places where it didn't occur to you that there was a kitchen in the joint, because God, how could it be, and why would I order?
Yeah, and why would you order food from it exactly?
And it may have been
the guy smoking is the one in the back making the food that hanging out of his mouth.
And it may be delicious food. I don't know, because it just hadn't occurred to anyone.
Isn't it Roscoe's that serves like chicken wings or some crazy?
Yeah, they have a kitchen.
And that's another place that I'm like, no. But now I haven't been back to Roscoe's. I think maybe only once since they got rid of smoking 10 years ago. So to me, that place was like, why would I ever put food in my mouth in this smoky hole? You know what I mean?
Right.
When I smoked it.
Yeah. And that was kind of the same thing. Like, it was such a divey place and didn't even think about it.
To your point, when I did the, I DJed that Pookie's reunion, well, they put together a Pookie's menu to reminisce about yesteryear and the food that you could get at Pookie's. So they had the Pookie Cobb salad and the certain burgers and all this kind of crap.
Did it have the cigarette burns in the menu?
No, it was freshly printed. So as I was there, because I had run from one event to another and I really hadn't eaten, so I'm like, is there food? And they're like, well, we have this menu and here's the salad. I'm like, well, I always loved this salad, so let's have that. Well, when I get it, it's nowhere near what the salad was before. So I'm eating it just because I had to have something or I was going to start gnawing somebody's arm off.
Like you do.
So the manager of the bar says, just like you remember? I'm like, not at all.
This is not a memory I would cherish.
No, I don't need to go back through this. Now, it used to be a damn good salad, but now not the recreation.
Well, the building's gone. The cook is gone.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. A lot of things missing from that.
One of them actually died, so that's another cook.
Oh, there you go.
That's
true.
Sad.
That's true. From the food, it was something totally
completely
separate,
unrelated.
You know, let's not start rumors.
No, so, you know, Ralph died of his own accord.
Marina.
We had a great weekend. We had Aaron's party for being done with Kyrene.
And sad to have missed it.
Yes, we were very sad to not see you. It was very fun. I set up, you've been in the backyard before, and so I brought the bar up into the, like right outside the back door. And Buddy showed up, which was one of my favorite things ever in the whole world. And he just bellied up to my bar and sat at my bar for hours. And he was, for Buddy Early, one of the second to last to leave.
Oh. Wow.
And it was fantastic. We just, I enjoy him so much.
I saw his post about, you'd stop by just to say hello and four or five sea breezes later, you're still sitting there.
And then after that later, he put a post about seven or eight or something. And I'm an enabler, I guess.
Counting?
Oops, my bad.
I was not
or 10. So we just had a real nice time. A lot of Aaron's friends from work showed up and they played croquet in the backyard. And
fun.
It was a lovely time.
So I do love croquet. I have no idea how to actually play it.
Yeah, I don't either.
Like the actual
rules. But you just kind of hit balls. They make such a lovely, fulfilling
that
sound.
And it's that whole put your foot on your friend's ball.
Yes, and then hit it away.
Yeah. Very satisfying.
That. It's very satisfying.
Whatever's going on there.
Is very fun.
And however they set it up was not croquet at all. Not even a little bit. Didn't look like croquet to me much. But, you know, hey, they just had fun playing that.
Was it whack-a-mole with the dog?
Yeah. I mean, they just, it wasn't set up like how when I was a kid, like you have
the stick and then the wire arches, right?
Right. They had them
very Alice in Wonderland.
They had them set up very funny to me. So it was just.
Was it penis shaped?
No.
I'm sure that any time I played, I was completely wasted. So if that was following some sort of pattern,
right?
Sure. And then Sunday night, obviously, went to Bette Midler. We did not bring that up last week, but yeah. She said the word empty hallways and or open doorways or something, and I just heard, like, I heard Bette. Like, it just, she was wonderful. It just was breathtaking.
It really, and if she's coming to your city next, because I know we're only about halfway through the tour.
Try to go.
Go.
Oh, it was just amazing.
No.
Yeah.
Like, bitch gets it done.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we had, we took a limo to the festivities, so that was very fun.
I saw that. That looked like a lot of fun. No, who
was a surprise.
That explains how you got there on time.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what I said.
Somebody else was driving.
Yeah.
Who were all of the people? Because I saw you and your mom and Ernie, and I presume Ernie's mom.
Ernie's mom, uh-huh. Yep. And then Jason's mom and Jason's mom's partner flew in from Missouri.
Oh, very
and
nice.
They were so excited to go to.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, so it was all the moms and all the daughters, because Jason's a bigger girl than the rest of us.
Sure,
yeah.
True story.
Yeah, it's such a true story, yeah. So we went to the Gladly again for dinner, because I just can't get enough of that place, and how kind everybody is, and how good everything is.
I know,
is.
It's marvelous.
It's amazing.
Seriously worth a plane trip out here.
Yeah, it really, really was. They loved it. And then we went to Bette, and yesterday we just kind of tooled around and had a lovely time, and yeah, it was a very nice weekend. Erin's first being done, and she's not sure what to do with her time now.
Right, because no summer school or anything, right?
Right, and normally she's teaching summer school.
She's off for the whole summer, and then she's going
to
start at the new place in the fall.
Yeah.
Good for her.
July 27th, I believe, or the 29th.
Yeah, they always go back like 2 or 3 weeks early.
So two nice months, yeah.
Yeah, usually she's done at the end of June, and then it's like 3 weeks that we try to fit in a whole lot of stuff.
But you usually do get a lot in.
We do. So I'm excited. We're very much looking forward to the summer, so it'll be fun.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
It is. Well, it was a very stupidly stressful week at work. And then Saturday I offered to come in and just had one of the most inappropriate arguments/confrontations with somebody that bordered on disrespectful and was almost like, shouldn't really...
Someone to you?
No, to me, to them.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I really was kind of like overstepping my bounds a bit, but I thought I was in the right place, and it was very stressful. And in the morning, I just referenced the conversation with someone else to be like how far out of line was I? And I was so reassured, because this the woman I talked the morning was, thank God you did that. Like, that's craziness.
Okay.
And it's been kind of bugging me all weekend.
Was this a coworker or was this a family friend of somebody?
No, like a coworker, but not a peer. And it was really tense, and it really ended up bothering me. So I went home and I crashed out, went to bed, and that's why I wanted to drive, because I didn't want to be on anybody's time schedule. And if I was a few minutes late, I was a few minutes late. We had so much time to get everywhere we were going. It was very relaxing. But the meal was wonderful. We went to Hanny's and
good.
Wonderful food, wonderful wine, and got to walk at a very leisurely pace to the concert. And I was just jonesing for a cup of coffee.
That was the other thing. Oh, then he got all excited thinking he saw a motion inside the Cartel coffee shop and darted across the street only to find out they were closed.
Yeah, nearly ran into traffic to get across to the Cartel people and their coffee.
Wow.
But found a coffee and then was able to sit and relax there too, because the concert didn't start right away. Nothing. I didn't have like 10 minutes. But I was like, you know what? I would like to pee before this all starts, and walked my happy aspect on the stairs. And it was just lovely. She did a lot of stuff. She really didn't go all that obscure unless you're just not following that closely. Like, she did, I still got my health from Beaches. Mm-hmm. She did, I think it's going to rain today from Beaches. Sure. She did Spring Can Really Hang You Up the Most from one of her more popular albums, but not one of the popular songs from it. And really just went through the whole thing. And
but her spot on comedy. Just her.
And like
amazing.
I said, to me, she was a comic first, because I found her concert to be funny when I saw her as a kid. Like, to me, and I thought it was Elaine Boozler. I thought her and Elaine Boozler were the same person.
I said that to my mom. I said, oh my God, she looks so much like Elaine Boozler in certain pictures especially.
Yeah, and so that's who I thought she was. So whenever I would see Elaine Boozler, I'm like, why doesn't she sing anymore? Like, I mean, she's she's still funny, but that singing thing was really kind of her shtick. Like, so to me, she was a comic that also kind of like had some fun, because her songs were kind of dirty, kind of provocative. She doesn't work nearly as blue anymore as she used to.
No, but she She did get a couple
She got a couple in there, but I mean, the F-bombs are down to a minimum because she taught me how to say fuck. Oh, I mean, my fuck comes right from her. Like,
right.
It comes, channels right through me. So, but it was just beautifully done. And I was a disaster when she sang Stay With Me. Like, it was, yeah. You know, she's 69 years old. I wasn't sure if, like, the songs with the big vocal gymnastics would still get it done, and oh god, did she sell that shit?
But I think she
shit.
Saved it for a couple of the songs where it was like, okay, I'm, you know, not going to do this.
Yeah,
anymore.
I can't do Delta Dawn and I Shall Be Released and Stay With Me. You just you just get one of the bigs. Yeah. You don't get the When a Man
one.
Loves a Woman. But boy, did she.
She
landed that. And she stayed standing up because she used to lay, like, parts of that used to be sung laying on the stage, like kicking and screaming. So to have her, like, standing up in an elegant gown. But
and 7 years ago, it was, because that's when Mom and I saw her in Vegas. And so within, or, yeah, it was 7 years. So she would have been 62 and was still doing that.
Yeah.
And running the this huge stage.
Yeah, that stage
at
so
Caesars,
big.
Like, back and forth and running. And so, granted...
A lot changes in seven years.
Yeah, and I said that about the Caesar's Palace. It was too big. That house was too big. She didn't have the circus that Celine did.
Yep.
And that show was a little bit of a disappointment to me because...
the Vegas show.
Because Kiss My Brass was so spot... And Kiss My Brass really was for those of us that knew all the old stuff. Because
so
she did Shiver
great.
Me Timbers.
Yes.
She pretty much did most of the Live at Last, the first concert album. She pretty much did that whole show, except for like Delta Dawn and... You know, a couple. But she did the dirty stuff, So the Kiss My Brass. So it was wonderful. And then yesterday, I told him when I said goodbye because we were thinking about going to have a drink afterwards. I'm like, I'm fucking exhausted.
Yeah.
I am tuning out. I'll get everybody home, and then Mama's going on the couch, and I will see you Tuesday.
Well, and that's what we were when we went to leave. You know, everyone was the car was waiting outside, and I wanted to, but I didn't know exactly where you guys were going to be, and I thought. We're just gonna go because too many. There's too much estrogen at that point.
And I seriously, I had gotten up to such a high that I was like, I was just crashing hard and fast. Yeah. And I did nothing for. I went home, went to bed, and
48 hours.
Yesterday, I did not quite that long.
And good for you.
Yeah,
I had
needed to happen.
One thing that that Aaron and I did yesterday, we tooled around town because we couldn't find any place open. We didn't realize how many places stayed closed. Because we went and got pedicures.
Oh, very nice.
Ooh, I know. I don't
know.
How
the fuck did you do that?
I'm the one that brought it up.
What's wrong with you? Who are you? I don't even know who you are anymore.
I don't know.
Because you never, ever do that shit.
I wore flip-flops. Well, the last 2 days I've worn flip-flops, swear to God. And I just showed my feet on TV-ish stuff, kind of.
What in the hell is going on?
Isn't that awesome? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, that was fun. I was like, let's
go.
Okay,
first off, almost every salon is closed on a Monday.
To begin with,
salons aren't open on Mondays to begin with. And then you add a holiday to it.
I know.
What kind of heathen did you find to do?
We actually, they did a very nice job, and we looked up to make sure that, but it was on 16th Street in Camelback. Just south, because
I know what you're talking about.
The one right? Nails or something.
Neck between the...
Something.
By Pier 1 over there?
No.
16th Street just south.
There's a Verizon store, and then there's
I'm a fan
Subway,
of that.
Subway, right there. Yes,
Jamba Juice.
Again, stimulating for people who aren't in the metropolitan
that
Phoenix area.
That is one of my three safe places to go for a pedicure in Phoenix.
Because we did. As much as it still open, before we walked in, I'm like, how many stars? Is everything okay? What do they have? So
if you're downtown, I'll lead you around.
I went there once because I was shopping around to figure out what Mani Pedi place. I was going to, because I was like, I've been going to this one that I go to for
the
a long,
one that
long
I
time.
With you.
Yeah. Yep. So I've been going there for quite a while. I'm like, maybe other places. Am I getting a better deal? Is it a better experience? Yada, yada, yada. So somebody suggested there. And one of the other things I wanted was I want to, do you have a guy on staff that can do the manicure or mani-pedi? Mm. She's like, I only got a manicure. But anyway, they looked at me just like I was nuts. I walked in and
I know. I remember you telling me this, and I thought that was crazy too.
They were like, you want a guy to do it? I'm like, yeah, that's what I want. And they, again, it was just the weirdest thing. And he was fine, but like the girl that managed the salon was like, it's really weird that a guy comes in to ask.
I mean, not that there aren't guys there all the time like that do, but usually they specialize in the painting nails.
Yeah, it was an odd one.
Fucking Jenny is so funny.
Jenny, that's.
I don't know what they're reading.
Aaron said it took me almost 6 months to show her to show my feet, and.
Clearly, they started from the head down.
Yeah, Jenny thought that was a loaded statement. That's funny to me.
So, Miss Monsieur McKee.
Look at that. Now Kat has figured out shit. I'm getting notifications
now
that says when she's live.
Oh my God! Like Kat Carlson is live. 12 people
it's
are watching right now.
The point of view. The point of view of Kat Carlson on the show.
POV to those.
Exactly.
POV,
exactly. That's what we got.
Yeah, I had to click a thing and turn on.
Turn on something.
Twitter notification, and now like 15 people. Hello, 15 people.
Oh my gosh! Look at you.
Welcome to the show with Clayton McKee.
And in a delay.
And what delay? It's going to be only as delayed as. I wouldn't do this simultaneous to our other feeds.
No. Right. Yeah. And right. Aaron is dropping some names that Harrison will just enjoy. That's all Harrison TV.
I know. I'm trying to read them, and I'm like, I don't know who.
Look at that. Hi from Argentina. This is going to be a lot of
Veronica
fun.
Cartwright. I'm back on board. I know who Veronica Cartwright is. Because I have to tell you that my cure for stress, Veronica Cartwright, if I'm not mistaken, she's from Alien, and she's the one that screams when the alien pops out of the guy's stomach. Tell me if I got the right Veronica Cartwright. So for my stress and my day of doing nothing, I decided that I hadn't watched a horror movie in a long time. And then I was like trying to pick a horror movie. And I'm like, you know what? Like, I've been so tense that I'm like, I don't feel like watching somebody get chased. Like, I think that's going to be the wrong
thing. Reliving parts of your life.
I would not watch American Horror Story then.
No. So I picked the further adventures of the town that dreaded sundown, which is one of the scariest little cult films from the 70s. Okay. And they kind of like did an updated version that included the fact that there was a movie. Yes, there was these murders. It's a truth. The murders are a true story. The movie did some like the director of the movie actually did some investigation and was very interested in the movie. And then so this takes place later with like the stories meet. Okay, it was really fucking tense. And at one point, it turned into this, like, chase with a knife through a cornfield into a scarecrow. And we had a point POV shot that turned the wrong way, and all of a sudden, they're in my face.
I do enjoy the point of view shot.
Screamed so loud and seriously came a good foot and a half off my couch that I went and shut the doors and windows and, like, put stuff away. So I'm like, okay, the cops are going to be here in a minute, because every neighbor should probably be worried about what's going on inside the haunted house. The stress just melted away with that scream. I just have to tell you, I was, like, instantly relieved, and I fell asleep, like, 45 minutes later. I just felt good to like just get that out, like fake adrenaline, fake primal screaming. But I'm
scary
serious, that scream is still
away.
Echoing somewhere over Camelback Road.
That's awesome.
I have no idea if that movie was any good or not, but that one scene was way too tense, and the release from it was just delicious. It was almost like an orgasm.
Oh,
I was going to equate it to
just
that,
thinking
but
that.
Yeah,
I let it go.
Just so delicious.
All right, so glad.
Back to you.
It was just the weather.
Now back to the Asian in the bikini.
The weather.
Trisha,
Trisha. Thanks for the weather, Ollie. Let's get to Trisha Takanawa, an Asian in a bikini. Here's a midget in a bikini. Just beautiful, stunningly beautiful weather just to be outside or to do projects outside. It was great, great, great. Of course, the Bette Midler concert did that as well with Mom and you, which was a wonderful time.
Talk about the surprise, please.
Because your mom didn't know where she was going, did she?
Right. No.
She blindfolded her. We put her in the trunk. It was fantastic.
Mother, it's so lovely with over
so
the
excited.
Years. Mother has been led blindly into many a thing with regards to me, so I just call her and say, hey, get ready to go. We're going to go here, here, and here. So, hello, people out there.
So, no, there's still like 6 people hanging on. I got to like 20, and then like some of them dropped
got
off.
Bored.
Like,
yeah.
Fuck this shit. So I figure
I'm watching Kat Carlson actively listen. That's fun.
So I told her, I sent an Uber for her. I said, be ready about 4. I sent an Uber for her. She showed up here. Then Al came by and got us, and I said, we're going to go. First thing I told her a couple weeks ago, we're going to go. And she goes, well, how do I dress? And I'm like, dress the same as you did for Mother's Day. You'll be perfectly fine. La 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 la. So she's like, well, she gets here. She goes, well, where are we going? Like, we're going to go eat. She goes, well, and then what? And then we're going to go do something else. Okay. And so
mind your business, Mom.
She didn't know, but I had an envelope with, you know, Mom written on it. So we got all the way to we parked the car. We walked through downtown, got to the restaurant. Everything was all good. When I think we finally ordered food, and then I gave her the envelope because she had already had her glasses on because of reading the menu.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, leave those on. She opened it, and I had highlighted on the tickets that it was Bette Midler's Divine Intervention. And she just saw them, and it was like, We're going now? To this? Like, yes, we're leaving here. We're going to walk right there, and we're going to go to the show.
That's so cool.
It was very great. I pulled it off. And she even said multiple times that because you really got me on that.
Oh,
I did not expect it. So I have 2 more that I'm working on because there's...
Sure.
I have a list of people that I want to see before they die. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple that I know that would possibly be on her list, too.
And sometimes it's before they die.
Yeah. Oh, not before she dies. Before they die.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Wait, did I say that wrong?
No, you said before you die. And I'm like, well, some of these performers, you got to catch them. Like,
No. I said that wrong. I mean before they
in the grave.
Before
quite
they
frankly,
die.
It'd be hard to get her to the concert. I would
Well, yes.
But, you know.
Yeah, no. It's before they pass away, the performers. Yeah.
Just before you put both feet in the grave. Can you hold this microphone?
Yeah. I like to see.
Awkward.
Couple times we've
I feel
seen
like that's a little
like
awkward.
That.
Awkward.
Yeah. Sing Muskrat Love Again one more time. Come on.
Act like you like each other.
Do it to me one more time. No, it was anyway. But that was love, and then it was yesterday on a random thing. I walked again. Weather's been so lovely. Walked to a coffee shop down the street here, and had a 3.5-hour conversation with Matt Little about everything except business, which was wonderful.
Well, that's nice.
Just all kinds of things I didn't know about him and his family. We shared all different stories from when we were younger, and it was very cool. It was very fun to just have one of those days,
bonding experience.
I like that.
Especially when you spend most of your time talking to that person all about business and it's all stress and customer shit and all of a sudden it's just that's all gone.
Well, and how nice, because back in the day that's what you guys used to.
Right, that's what we used to. Right.
We call that team building.
Yep. Oh. Is that what you call it now after your little incident
after
at the hospital?
That's how we all go out and drink, because you get a chance to just kind of drink and cool off and unwind, and you might bitch a little bit about work, but mostly you just kind of share stories and get a laugh out of something that was truly horrible, and drink your fool head off till somebody falls down.
There's that.
Well, and Mom and
Sounds
Di,
good to me.
Mom and Di, you looked fabulous. You looked absolutely fabulous, and it was great. I was looking at you all through the binoculars.
Oh, you found us?
Yeah. Yeah, we looked over, and my mom, of course, is like, now where are they? Like, you have your own binoculars. And so she put them up, and she did. She looked very pretty. She looked lovely, Di. So that was neat that you were.
It was funny because I couldn't see your mom. I saw.
Yeah, she was right next to me.
I saw Ernie. Mm-hmm. I saw her mom. I saw Jason, but I couldn't see. I don't know if somebody was just like had their head in the way, but I never did spot your mom.
Yeah, she was in between Jason and I. I was probably like just hiding her, but it was really what a fun Sunday.
Yeah, and I was so glad that day I decided like, oh fuck it, just order the tickets.
I know. Oh, and I was trying to talk Buddy into it, and he kept looking online. He kept looking for tickets, and so
tickets were available as of Sunday.
They were.
One of my favorite things about that is because I've always felt, maybe I'm in the minority on this, but if I'm going to pay X amount for seats, I ain't stand up this fucking concert.
Right.
Y'all need to sit the fuck down and enjoy this show. And of course, when most of the audience is 70 years old, nobody really stood up.
No, they stood up for a standing ovation, and then they sat down the minute she started. She came out like the minute a note hit, bam.
Yeah.
Well,
the reverse mortgage enthusiasts were all.
Yes. That was fantastic.
At the very end, when she came out and did Boogie Woogie Bugle, there was an older couple in front of us that stood up, and the wife wanted to stand up, and I could tell that the husband didn't really want to, because he kind of hung on her, and mom's like, really? The whole concert? Now they stand up? So mom moved over a seat because those people had left thinking it was really done, and she got to watch the very end of it. But it was nice that I'm like, no, we're not going to stand up.
And I held out my over enthusiasm until Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy, and I sang that whole song. Like I was trying not to sing. Mm. Although I still got my health was very tempting, and I was so taken aback by I think it's going to rain today, and that song's having some kind of a resurgence, like all of a sudden.
Apparently in Texas.
Yeah.
Apparently that's true. Yes.
There's some sad fucking
I think
stories.
It's gonna
flood
today.
Weather pond happening.
She really just I don't know. And the Wind Beneath My Wings. Like I understand that it's been played at weddings and funerals and blah 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 blah.
Works though.
That is the song, like, Mom and I, one way or another, Mom and I would have been at this concert.
Mm-hmm.
And going to Bette Midler is our thing. And so when that came on, it doesn't matter. Every time, Aaron looked at me and said, oh, the two of you are just fucking messes. What's wrong with you? Mom's bawling, I'm bawling. Like, it just was, they were just falling. Yeah. I can't.
And it's one of those things,
I can't help it.
I've heard it too much at karaoke, and I really just wanted to kill people when they do it.
Please don't.
When she started, it got me. Like, it wasn't the same reaction that I had to Stay With Me.
No.
But, I mean, I teared up for the whole thing.
Again, it was wonderful. And her Kardashian.
Oh, no, or now do you have it reverse camera?
That's nice.
And
that's nice.
Better yet, if you'll click on the link in the chat room, you can see.
Jesus.
No shit, look.
Look at that.
This is fantastic.
You can see what I did 5 seconds ago.
That's great.
No,
it's
but
like
you
an
can.
Instant replay.
The moral of the story is you could watch the Periscope broadcast on, like, you don't have to have the app, you just have to have the link, and it can stream through a web browser.
All right, now I'm in. Now
you can see the things that I'm broadcasting.
That's funny.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah. Where did you come up with the link?
Point of view. Well, when I turn on the Twitter thing, now it automatically, whenever I start broadcasting, it will automatically
tweet. It tweets it.
It tweets it out, and then you can click on it and get a link.
I was going to share something about Twitter for you, Al, because you said you didn't think you needed another platform on which to inflict yourself upon the world. I don't actually ever tweet, but I have my Twitter. My Twitter is connected to my Facebook, so any post that I do on Facebook automatically tweets it.
Oh,
and a lot of people do that.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people do that simultaneous, like,
posting it is things connected to Twitter Bear.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Right. I don't know what the hell it is.
It's still making me sign
that's
up.
It's blooming right here in Phoenix.
I should probably stop filming you sneezing.
I got something. It's that damn dry tickle in your throat that you cannot get rid of. It's annoying as hell. And it's been happening.
Loving the roof.
The what?
The ceiling.
Oh, the ceiling.
Oh, are you looking at the ceiling? I know, because I had an upshot kind of for a while.
I'm working on my camera angles.
No roof.
All right, we've got around the table. We've got a selfie stick in play right now. We're going
to
get ready to do headlines right after this.
You're listening to Hugh Talk America.
What's this? It's a 30-second dance break.
Is the Hugh Talk America Radio Network.
Alrighty, kids, it's some headlines on this show number 217. It's Tuesday, May 26th, 2015, and it goes something like this. A prison sentence over a bad drink.
That stinks.
That's one hoot of a lawyer.
19 hypocrisies and counting.
Naked and afraid on a bridge.
Fantastic divorce letter.
Hey, I'll lick your butt for freedom.
Oh, all bad in the BC days.
And the dancing man gets his party. These and many other things will interrupt each other over the next 45 minutes to an hour. Stay with us, won't you? Ah, such a stirring headline. Little thing here. Well, the second of two men convicted in a 2013 assault of three people outside a Sacramento night spot was sentenced on Friday to more than 28 years in state prison. Joanne Felix, who was 36, was sentenced to 28 years on charges of assault with a deadly weapon and assault causing great bodily injury in a near-fatal August 2013 stabbing of a doorman outside a club that was called Level Up in Sacramento. Sacramento Superior Court Judge Robert Twiss ordered the sentence on Friday. Jurors back in April convicted Felix of the charges. Prosecutors say the attack came after closing stemmed from a botched drink served earlier to Felix and poor service he believed he had received from the club's bartenders. Prosecutors said an angry Felix rejected several offers of a fresh pour before leaving the club with the threat, "This is how the place is going to get burned up," is what he says. They've done nothing to him except serve him a bad drink, according to what the judge said. Felix, who is a career criminal with a years-long rap sheet that Twist called, quote, extensive, returned to Level Up about 2 a.m., and authorities said with friend Cornelius Jones, whose own violent history stretches as about as long of a rap sheet, the pair teamed up as youths for an armed robbery back in 1984. I guess that they'd been working together a while. Anyway, they stabbed the hell out of the doorman, and they both got booked for their wrongdoing. I mean, Jesus, drunk, drugs, whatever the hell there's wrong with them. Why would you think to go back? Go for the bartender. Not the doorman.
Watch the bartender.
It's seriously, smoke pot.
Right.
If
right.
the drink can lead you to stab people, smoke a joint. Leave us the fuck alone.
Yeah.
Agreed.
The doorman was actually hospitalized for 3 weeks after it. So not good.
Well, clearly he's not in the cast of The Following, where you stab people and they go back to work a day later.
No.
And speaking of The Following, because I just have to point it out. Like, I know the shows can't be accurate in any way, shape, or form, but The Following, I mean, the one character got shot twice over two consecutive weeks, and the next week he's in a fist fight, and I'm like,
how did you heal?
Jesus Lord! It should be able to take easier to take this guy out. And then the other guy gets emergency surgery.
Sorry.
I'm typing it.
Okay. Emergency surgery for a nick to his bowel. And then in like 5 minutes later, he's sipping a soda. I'm like, oh, sweetheart, your bowel's done. You've been stabbed so many times in your bowels.
And shot and yes. Everything.
In your bowels.
Well, it just makes me, because that's the guy that should be changing his colostomy bag.
Oh.
He was stabbed with a sword two seasons ago. And this time he got stabbed in the back. We've hit that fucking bowel from every ankle. Somebody change a colostomy bag for him. Like, he is not on the shitter.
That's fantastic.
Kat, nobody's going to hold that for you when you get to your segment. So he's going to reverse the camera.
At any moment, I can just make
I just want to make sure you're aware. Al is not going to hold your stick.
Nope.
Oh. Well, that's awkward. That's just not very awkward.
Lazy in bed. That's how I describe myself. Exactly. I am not holding your stick.
No, I may not do this the entire 3 hours, but it's very fun for me.
With one hand, shit in the other. See which one fills up faster. That's what I always say.
Let me know when this gets annoying.
Not yet.
Not yet?
Okay, good. I'll let you know.
All right.
Well, I thought you were staring at yourself when it was pointed over here, though. So I was all...
I wonder how well that does when you're not on a wireless network, when you've got good speed. If it's just regular...
You know, I kind of messed with it while I was driving, which is safe.
Oh, that's good.
Recommended at all speeds.
Yes, and I get in trouble for things I do.
All speeds.
Well, no, because I have a phone mount in my car, like right on the dash, you know, from my Uber driving days. And so I turned it on, and it's coming down the 51 past the Dreamy Draw. The cell phone reception's really shitty there.
Right.
So it did like kind of kick
because
me out.
Because of the UFO.
Because of the fucking aliens, I know.
Yes, it's it.
Motherfucking aliens. I'll put that on selfie mode while I talk. So I it told me that I could not start a broadcast at a certain point because the signal internet was, speed was not okay.
Was not okay. Was it is not okay. Okay.
Hashtag, so I imagine, it is not okay.
That opening goes a lot better for me. So I imagine...
You're showing people...
Can you like hold it down here?
You're showing people aspects of the studio they've never seen. It's a very much a behind the scenes of here's what it wires is. Strung across
this is
the ceiling.
This is how they got that Dennis Quaid video made.
This is how reality TV was started.
Yeah.
Well.
Because you know that thing that went around the internet of Dennis Quaid having the fit on set?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
sure.
And he's like, you're all just garbage. Or no, he's like, that's garbage. And then they show the actual thing that's not filmed with the cell phone and it was somebody like pouring garbage on the floor. And he's like, that's just shit. And then a dog took a shit like right in front of him, but all you see is his reactions to everything. And if you see the whole thing
the
filmed
picture.
With the cameras, you see that he's literally saying what's in front
what's
of him.
Front
but
of
if
him.
You only see the what they released was from, it's from Funny or Die, but no one knew it.
Right?
They said it was from the set of a movie where he had a meltdown and he was being an asshole. And what they did was somebody must have used this app because they just filmed.
There's a couple of them.
Yeah, on and off, and so it was really funny. So close, I can almost touch you.
There's that.
Reach out and touch.
Where's the doll? Where's the doll?
Where's the doll?
Marty Ryer.
Well, what is that smell in Pendleton, Oregon? A resident of Pendleton, Oregon has written a letter requesting the city council ban the smell of farts in the community. But he has a good,
reason.
That
is just good sense.
He has a good reason for
good
raising this
stink. Good sense.
Last week, the city of Pendleton updated its nuisance ordinance to cover the smell of marijuana. NBC reported
why
this.
Why would you cover the smell of it?
Well, here's the deal.
Because it does smell like skunk sometimes.
That means that even though recreational marijuana will be legal in Oregon starting in July,
hooray!
A person can be fined up to $500 if someone complains they smell marijuana
my travel
coming
agent.
From that person's property. So if they smell it coming from their property, they could be fined up to $500. In a letter.
Oh, so like cigarette smoke.
Right.
Am I correct in assuming?
You are correct in assuming. So in a letter published in the East Oregonian on Thursday, someone who signed his name as Peter Walters merely asked that the council members take the next logical step and start regulating a far more noxious scent. He says, it is with great relief Thursday. It was with great relief Thursday when I read in the East Oregonian that Pendleton City Council took the time to pass an amendment to the city's nuisance ordinance banning marijuana odor. Good Lord, clearly there has been no issue of greater importance facing this city. Now that this important work has been completed, I hope that the council will move on to restricting the other offensive smell that plagues our community. farts. So it says, Walters, who is pretty clearly mocking the marijuana ordinance, notes some habitual farters argue that they need no fart for medical reasons, that they need to fart for medical reasons, but that doesn't mean my kids should have to smell their farts.
That's a true story.
So I think that that was very interesting. His letter was very funny. They also showed the entire letter that he goes through. I'm not even going to talk about the intensity of farts. After all, Pendleton Police Chief Stuart Roberts put it, it's a very subjective standard in terms of whether people are offended by smells or not. So, but how interesting I thought that out of people's homes.
Now, the weird thing is, because I've been to the Oregon a couple times, mm-hmm. and I just want to tell you,
the Oregon.
That might be too close. How can you smell anything over the bongo drums and the patchouli? You know what I mean?
Sure, sure, sure.
And the freshly worn sandals.
Matthew McConaughey lives there. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Uh-oh.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Hi.
Now we see her true age.
I thought the first time I went, really brilliant.
Flew into Portland, had no idea what to expect. And you kind of look around when you're flying to a new city, and you never know because you're on Southwest because you're really just dropping off the mail
right.
on your way to your real city. Sometimes you get 4 and 5 stops. So you don't know where the good people of Southwest Airlines are going to finally land this fucking plane for the last time. But it was a turnaround flight. So there is a Phoenix to Portland turnaround. So everybody did get off. Hand jobs, mostly. So... Oh, Bear, aren't you sweet? So we're just laughing, and there's these two girls sitting in front of me that I was like, just enough. Like, they look like they're from the cast of Hair, like, practically barefoot, like, the whole
tie-dye shirts and bad hair.
Lesbanian cast of Hair deal. Just, you know, patchouli Lesbanian oil on everything
sure.
that moved.
Sure.
And sure enough, as soon as they got off the airplane, like, I went and got my luggage, and the luggage thing, carousel, was, like, right by the windows to the outside, and they clearly had no luggage. They, you know, everything was in backpacks. They were younger. They were traveling efficiently. Soon as they got outside the door, they had the basket, the hat on the ground, the bongos going, like, looking for money for the cab.
Oh.
And I was just, like, and then the whole place, as soon as you walked in there, it was just the smell of pot just hit you. This was years ago, before, you know. And this is the place where I found the pot and the Dunkin' Donuts just by walking up to a Dunkin' Donuts at 2 a.m. Like,
yeah.
I'm kind of not following the whole...
That's why I was surprised.
This pot thing is new to Oregon. Like, they're also like, what is that smell?
Sure, sure. But that's where I thought it was
a long way to get to that point.
No, but it's very interesting to think that someone's in they're in their fucking backyard or they're in their house or something. And you're going to find... I don't know.
Yeah.
I just have an issue with that. And even with
the whole
state
is fucking woods. There's skunks everywhere. You don't know what you're smelling.
There's that.
Touche. Sir?
And you know I went around Magic Mountain complaining to everyone about all the people smoking pot. Because they weren't sharing it with me.
Oh, right.
I just wanted to know if they had an open carry pot thing at Magic Mountain.
Yeah.
I wanted to be
How
part of
I
it.
Can't
right. And the security guard that I complained to was like, that's skunks.
Oh.
Oh.
And I was like, oh. He's like, you know how there's skunk weed? He's like, it's because it smells like skunks.
Oh.
So in the bushes.
But he was in the know.
There weren't like little elves smoking pot
no,
in the bushes.
There were
it
actually
was literally
skunks,
actual spraying skunks each other.
Not happy about the people being at their magic mountain.
Yeah. That's what it was.
See that.
And Bear comments that he loves patchouli. And it's lovely in moderation. Like anything mm-hmm. in moderation.
Yeah.
Maybe.
When they bathe an entire state in it.
It's a whole other story.
That's one of my favorite things to exaggerate is how much patchouli is involved in any festival.
I know it. I agree.
Well, defending yourself in a court case is rarely recommended, but appointing a stuffed owl as your lawyer really just is the worst idea ever. Nevertheless, that's who or what Charles Abbott brought in as his attorney when he appeared in an Aspen, Colorado courtroom last Tuesday. Abbott is accused of violating a protection order involving his former roommate, Michael Stranahan. The order was filed after Abbott allegedly assaulted Stranahan at an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting because he was supposed to bring the beer. Guessing that. Stranahan, Stranahan said Abbott violated the order by going to Stranahan's home to retrieve belongings when the victim was out of town. In court, Abbott placed a fuzzy stuffed owl at the defense table and told the judge that the owl named Solomon would be his legal counsel until the public defender had been assigned to the case. Abbott told the judge that the owl was, quote, very sensitive and has law degrees from Yale, Harvard, and Stanford. I think he'll be able to represent me well before the public defender gets online. The judge ignored the owl, who really had little to say during the proceedings.
Surprisingly.
But asked Stranahan if he'd amend the court order to allow mediation. Now, Stranahan declined, saying he didn't feel safe being in close proximity to Abbott. So the hearing ended up with the restraining order still in place. However, Abbott is allowed to attend the same church, provided that he does not initiate contact.
With the owl?
The owl had no comment.
Good. I like it.
How stupid are you that you're bringing a fucking owl? It's an educated owl, Your Honor.
Yeah.
He's going to represent. Right. There was a picture that literally showed the owl sitting on the table in the courtroom.
I just want to point out, those are scary fucking creatures,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they are pretty sure.
Yeah, thanks for not getting me eating.
Oh, no, she's looking at herself.
No, I'm looking at myself.
Yeah. All right.
I went back into selfie mode. Could you tell I made the selfie face?
This is very tricky.
Yeah, it is. We don't know what the fuck she's doing.
I love it.
If she's like Katie, she'll be tired of it in a little while.
No, you know what? We are broadening our...
No, I know. It's a show within a show within a show. I love it.
Yes. We're a multimedia conglomeration of extravaganza.
Well, speaking of all that, join us for hour 2 and 3. We're going to do a drinking word, and Kat's going to show more people what goes on behind the scenes in the studio from her own podcast. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh my God! That was the funniest thing. For those of you who don't get to hear what goes on off air,
in the 30-second break,
Kat Carlson just said, and if you didn't have video, you wouldn't understand it, she just had to quit her little self-broadcasting of her podcast, and the reason given was because her hand was tired.
Yeah.
And it just was so funny.
Listen, she's been beating that thing for an hour.
Hashtag white women problems.
Yeah.
My selfie stick is too heavy.
Oh, God.
I had to put it down for a minute because my hand, look, it's a little red.
God damn it, that was funny. Why are you quitting? My hand's tired.
I love Aaron had to go down to one back device. On. So, Aaron, you need to get this thing and you need to give us live broadcast from Comic-Con.
You should click the link. Aaron has the thing and will hopefully now be broadcasting. Lots of things. Yeah. I'm really excited about the new app, if you can't tell. So I feel like it's going to be
very fun. I think
it's a lot
of fun.
A fun, like, multimedia.
Yeah.
Well, I think what's going to be interesting is if we get more people to actually get it on their devices around the world, they can then do their little broadcast, and we can actually click on and see what they're doing wherever they are.
But not while we're on.
It will archive them, and you can watch them after the fact. Because Aaron's link is still good. If you scroll down just a little bit, Aaron from LA put a link. And it's a very nerdy, like, podcast inside of a thing inside of a thing, picture inside of a picture thing.
A thing inside of a thing.
Well, because he...
some things.
Yeah. Gotcha. He periscoped his own periscope and his own periscope.
I know. Wow. I'm trying, and I don't know what to do.
Did you click on his thing?
Yeah. I did. Is it the geek filter?
Yeah. And it should just automatically load up.
I think it's because I don't have Twitter. I think that's what's missing.
It shouldn't.
We need to get you Twitterfied. Since you can't watch live.
All right. So I'll get Twitter by next week. I'll be a functioning member.
All right, boys and girls, it is the beginning of hour 2, so we kick it off, and it goes a little bit something like this.
And now, a drink along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom, and that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Your drinking word is sacrilegious. but I will accept sacrilege.
Well, thank you.
How about blasphemy?
No, we need sacrilege.
Sacrilege. All right.
Blasphemy is good, though.
Because I think I'm anticipating your next story.
Oh, hers? Maybe. Oh, okay. Continue on.
So, 19 hypocrisies and counting.
Told ya.
Oh, sacrilege.
I found a blog that had, I was laughing out loud. This guy is ridiculous. He's so good. He states, I have always wanted a Porsche, a sleek, sexy sports car in cherry red with a custom dark champagne leather interior. And he goes on and on about wanting this car and how well he's going to take it. And he says, I know what you're thinking, that's stealing. It's a crime. But no, I have that figured out, too. You see, my plan does not stop there. After I steal, or I mean drive my car off the lot, I'm going to ask Jesus for forgiveness. I will be deeply sorry, and I will regret my inexcusable behavior. I'll seek counseling. I will not go to counseling. I'm just going to seek it. After I do all that, it's not a crime. See, it's a mistake. I call it my Josh Duggar plan. It works. Just ask Josh. He's living proof of Christ over crime. This guy is just brilliant.
That's delightful.
He is just brilliant. He says, I'm confident that Jesus will let me keep my Porsche, you know, because I'm thankful for his grace and his mercy and his sports cars. Josh Duggar's a role model.
More importantly.
More importantly. Exactly. Josh Duggar's a role model. Everyone says so. Mike Huckabee has already pardoned him. And he's not even president yet. Oh, fingers crossed, though. Mike Huckabee. President Huckabee. 2016. Mr. Huckabee reminds us, good people make mistakes. This is so true. Josh is good. He's the star of a reality TV show. That makes him good and very important. Mr. Huckabee says that no, very,
very
important.
Yes.
I say sacrilege.
Yeah, I agree.
bing bong.
It must have been difficult because Josh's mom must be real proud of him too. The blogger says, I admire her. Michelle Duggar is a beacon of virtue. It must have been difficult for her to put her family on national television knowing the molestation mistakes of her son. Think of the pain she must have been inwardly enduring when she was publicly saying that transgender people were, quote, child predators.
And she would know. She raised one.
Right, exactly. In a robocall recorded when she campaigned against an anti-discrimination bill in her home state of Arkansas, she said that we should never, quote, endanger daughters or allow them to be traumatized by a man joining them in their private space. We should never place the preference of an adult over the safety of an innocent and innocence of a child. Wow. Can you imagine how much of a struggle it must have been for her to say those things? She deserves our respect, certainly. Her strength is inspiring. Don't be shocked by this guy's plan, though, to get himself a brand new car or motorcycle. It's not like he's going to go out and get gay married or have gender reassignment surgery or anything crazy or vile like that. No. People may tell you that being gay or transgendered is not a crime, but those people are trying to change the definition of, quote, crime, unquote. Just like they are trying to redefine the meaning of marriage. Traditional marriage is anything homosexual, or traditional crime, excuse me, is anything homosexual or transgender, as it is explicitly expressed in the Lord's Ten Commandments, according to the Duggars.
Yeah, I mean,
this guy, his whole thing was hysterical.
One of my favorite people to read as I stayed up whatever day that was way too late reading shit was Montel Williams, who just hit the nail on the head. I mean, if you could pull up, he went on more of a rampage than I did. And his Twitter account, which I don't have Twitter, but I did read his tweets. They were luckily transcribed over to Newsweek or something. And a delight. Like, he just went point point by point as to, like, what was wrong with you motherfuckers?
Yeah.
Wow. And the fact that robocall where she was like, I just don't understand. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why I put it in her own words. Because that robocall is so easy to find. And it was about letting trans people use public restrooms.
Right.
And we had a conversation that most of the bathrooms down here in Phoenix are both. Like, most of the restaurants down here don't have a lot of space, so the bathrooms are both.
Mm-hmm.
So you just lock the fucking door.
Right.
You know what I mean? And if you are in a public restroom, I'm sorry, I don't know how it works in the ladies' room, but in the men's room, we're not walking around with our junk out. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You pee, you zip it up, you go wash your hands. Like,
sometimes there's some boob touching. Same.
In the men's or the women's?
Sure.
Well, I was
talking the ladies' room.
We're just feeling up the surgeries. They feel
right.
Like, how do they
breast
feel?
Exam.
Are those real? Yeah.
Your tits are up and not moving. What's up with that?
What's happening?
Who's your surgeon?
Bouncing and behaving.
But what's happening?
Well, that's just it, Harrison. That and Jenny, that's exactly what they're trying to point out. Like, how fucking ridiculous. It doesn't say a thing.
Nor does
in
Jesus,
the
except for the other thing. What is, and I'm not sure where it comes from, that what God has joined, let no man put asunder. Is I think that's Old Testament
it
shit,
is Old
but
Testament.
It could be New Testament too.
No, it's Old Testament.
That the all, I mean, if you're really that worried about divorce, about marriage, ban divorce.
The Ten Commandments don't mention marriage; they talk about adultery. I mean,
oh,
if
of
you
course,
go
yeah,
with
yeah.
That, number six, I believe, says you know thou shalt not commit adultery.
Number six.
Here we come up with
moving higher
seven.
All the time. Yeah.
Number seven says
survey says
with a bullet adultery.
Here we go.
It's and it,
top
and,
three answers on the
I
board.
I actually had a friend.
Top ten answers on the board.
Top ten answers on the board. 17 Christian survey.
Can we write that down for a future drinking phrase?
19 Christians. 19
apparently, Cougars. Apparently in Arkansas, it's 4 out of 5 Christians surveyed.
Yeah.
That fourth one, or fifth one.
Still holding out.
Yeah.
Still holding out for touching thy sister.
You don't know.
So, a friend of mine.
Yeah, but have you seen her sister?
Yeah.
Oh, sacrilege!
There it is. A friend of mine private messaged me yesterday about, like, I can't remember how she phrased it, but, like, you know, what is with all the schadenfreude about Josh, and isn't it, it's happiness at the happiness at the misery of others. It's a German word. That was made popular by Avenue Q. There's a whole song.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it's good times. Nice. And I was like, this is not joy at someone's misfortune. Like, yes, no. this guy is genuinely fucked up and needs help, but the family covered it up. And if this family was just sitting around minding their own business, I might have some sympathy and, like, I might be willing to, like, okay,
right.
Maybe it's time for your family to get some help, take yourself off the TV, do a little counseling, but not when you're going around making robocalls and accusing everybody and their dog of being pedophiles.
Right. And you knew right. of it and you hid it. They already knew.
Well, yeah. And the fact that TLC knew about it since 2006 really bothers me.
And that
a lot.
Oprah just kicked
well,
him
I didn't know
the
they'd
show.
Known that long.
Yeah.
I don't know when this show started.
Something else that I have, but
oh wow.
It's just really strange. And one of the things that someone pointed out to me through the course of this is that and I have never aside from the shit that they pull about politics, mm-hmm. I know nothing about them. Like I don't know why they have so many kids or what's wrong with her vagina that it can't close up.
It's a clown car.
Yeah, right. Like what?
I was thinking that on the way in. I'm like, yeah. I know it's been everywhere, but I know nothing about
yeah,
all
I just
of
know
this.
I just know their politics because of all the shitty things they've said about gays mm-hmm. and traditional marriage and okay. transgenders people. Mm-hmm. Like that's the only time they ever make it onto my radar and they're just awful. Like everything they say is just hateful and wrong.
Right.
Sure. So for them to all of a sudden have this in their midst, but the one thing that I found out was that the way that they can have 7,000 children is that the older ones raise the younger ones yep. because they can't stop. They can't get out of the hospital long enough to find out what their names
Hashtag
are.
Hashtag Mormons.
So
right.
Not yeah. only is
no,
this,
it's true. Yeah.
Not only is this man, this boy at the time, their older brother, he's their
parent.
Excuse me. He's their parent. He's their primary yeah. caregiver.
Sure.
Right.
And the person that's supposed to be giving them giving their care. So that's even more traumatic.
What's
to have it come
here?
From a like an older sibling is one thing. To have it come
but
from
a person of authority
like yeah. like your priest or a school teacher is worse. But to have it come from a parent figure is just the dirtiest fucking transgression you can imagine. Because they have nowhere to turn.
Mm-hmm.
Their parents are too busy having 19 more
right.
kids.
The only authority, the only,
right, and then
the only security they have is this person.
Right. And then you find out that these younger girls forgave him based on what? And he didn't go to therapy. He went and built a fucking barn. That's not therapy. The guy that they told is now serving 56 years in jail for child porn.
Mm.
That's who they confessed their crimes to, the state trooper that they were friends with. Mm-hmm. And the therapy he got was going to build a barn. No, you've been homeschooled.
Right.
You're diddling little girls while they're sleeping.
You're a piece of shit, is what you are.
Right. But you're also a teenager. It's time to intervene and get real therapy. Like praying on it ain't gonna work. Your prayers mean so much until this example. Prayer's the wrong way to go on this one. You need real psychological counseling, and because you're homeschooled with a fucked up family.
Yeah,
you're in charge of little children. You don't know how to handle yourself and your sexuality. You're 12 to 14. Like everything in this story just tells you that. Having 19 children raised this way is completely fucked up.
Is not working in this case.
Right, and then to say, like, the young girls forgave him based on what? On your stupid home teaching? Like, And then there, did you see that little thing that Katie put up about like the little circle of you're damaged, but now that helps you accept the spirit of the Lord. So would you rather be like molested or not have the spirit of the Lord? And you're like,
yeah,
it's time to lock these two up. Like he needs counseling before he hurts his own family. But those parents, they got to go to jail because they weren't raising the kids anyways. No. They're not raising them. And from what I understand, they say that all the time, that it's all like co-parenting. And because you can't pay. I mean, come on.
Well, it takes a village of idiots.
Yeah,
I mean, like this
five
is
dogs.
Just,
who's they
made their own
dogs?
Village.
Right.
They have to keep each other company.
God damn.
But what I read,
I just don't
Jesus
understand how
Christ.
the authorities could come in or how TLC could look at it and say, well, the authorities intervened and what they did was enough. Well, what did they do? Nothing.
Yeah. And he's on the
fucking
family.
Fucking nothing.
And then he goes to the hate group of all hate groups. Well, it's not really. The National Organization of Marriage is the worst. But
family.
The Family Research Council is barking at their heels for like the most hateful group in America.
Mm-hmm.
And he's their spokesperson.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Oh, well, he admitted
That's
it.
Wretched.
What did you admit to? And who did you admit it to? Nothing. I just... It's one of those things where I just always want to get on board with like and be like... in harmony with religious people. I want to believe they mean good things. And then you just get slapped down.
I think that
fanatics, fanatics are fanatics are fanatics.
Right,
no matter
right.
Where
you
go.
No, I agree with
that. And that's where you have to kind of get in there because I think, you know, a fair amount of people, like your average everyday people, your boozy moms, your PTO people, your, you know, whoever, your Sunday morning goers, your Marty Ryers, right, whatever.
No, for real. I mean,
I've heard that name before.
I don't know who that is.
But I think they're just like well-meaning people who are looking for whatever they're looking for and finding it in religion, which is fine. You know, your acceptance, your purpose, your whatever.
Right. And maybe not
I want to know why the sun rose today.
And maybe not finding it in
Apollo drove his golden chariot. Yeah.
You know, maybe not finding it in organized religion for, you know.
Or even if you found it there, like, okay.
Even if you did. Right. I'm speaking just for me to say that it's not about an organized religion. It's... There's just something in the spirituality of it, I guess, is the what it's kind of evolved to, the word that has come of it. But when it gets bundled into crazy religious stuff, and anyone who potentially believes in God is this crazy religious zealot thing, then I'm like, wait, no.
Right.
Because I'm not associating with these people.
But this is the whole...
this is different.
And I know that we all are born in a time of, like, of choice, in a time of... birth control, like back in the days where like mothers and children were dying in childbirth and you needed 18 people to work the farm and why not give birth to them themselves because the migrant workers hadn't made it quite up to your farm yet.
Cheaper. Right.
I get that kind of sacrilege. I'm with you. But in these days of like enlightenment and like educated women, I just don't fucking get it. And that they're raising, I'm assuming some of them are girls in this clown car.
But
you're just raising more damaged, damaged folk. Like, and stop homeschooling. Just stop. Mm-hmm. Stop. I mean, write homeschool people because don't do it. You're just raising a tard. Like, you have no, I'm sorry. I'll use that word in that case because that's what you're raising.
Am I the only one in this room
that
who
was homeschooled?
Has a
At least I know there was
that's
wine
right.
in your homeschool.
That's right. It's okay. Mom and Dad did a good job. That's okay. There was
homeschool tarts. Done.
I know we've already talked about this before, but I'm just going to ask a specific question. Am I the only one in the room that feels that religion is only for the weak?
No, I think cults are only for the weak.
Yeah.
I think true cult is only for the weak.
Unless, of course, you're the leader, and then I think cults are for the strong.
Yeah.
The strong.
That's the drink.
Hardy.
The Kool-Aid. You noticed how quickly we jumped into the Periscope.
No,
I would be a really good cult leader.
Religion and making choices and being educated about your religion or, like, just being a sheep. And that's when I think it counts. There's a horrible musical called Children. I think it's called Children of Eve. And it's absolutely horrible because every message in the show is do not ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God, like knowledge is a waste. Every single thing, like Eve is practically a whore for asking a question. And if there was two sons, where do the grandchildren come from?
For real.
Sacrilege.
yes, and then all religions are up for grabs. I don't know much about Hindu. Like I was raised Methodist, so I'm able to make fun of Methodist a little bit more. I know a little bit about Catholic, so I can poke a little fun there. I don't know much about Mormon. You know what I mean? You make fun of what you know. Like,
sure.
That's where, you know, Protestant swearing, drinking, and gambling, because all
of it's forbidden. I just have never understood any control based in fear. I don't understand that.
But it doesn't always come from fear. There's different kinds of...
Seems like the majority of it is. You don't often hear about the wonderful little Sunnybrook church where everybody gets together and it's wonderful.
I didn't grow up thinking like they're fire and fucking brimstone.
Yeah, I wasn't raised fire and brimstone either. And the Catholics grow up with you're forgiven. I mean, that's not really that far off. No. Like, you can do whatever you want to. You just go get forgiven.
Hail Marys.
A couple Hail Marys, a couple of Our Fathers. You're forgiven. Like, you're off to
$200 check and you're done.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Tithing is always an easier way to be forgiven.
Just write a check.
I just don't think that there's any force holding anything over you. Who's the fuck is to forgive you?
But
that just baffles me that you believe that there's something out there that.
It's called the Enlightenment. Is when people stopped relying on religion for. You make your own destiny, you make your own choices, and the only person that has to forgive you is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to live with your own choices.
You're your own God in a sense. Yeah.
And that's what's missing for most of these people is they're not willing to say, I forgave myself.
Well, and they don't have a conscience to even ask for forgiveness.
And that's what the Enlightenment is all about. That's why when they cling to Thomas Jefferson, even though he owned slaves and like raped one of them, he's from the Enlightenment. He wasn't religious. Like, he wrote pretty about religion, but he didn't believe it. He's from the Enlightenment. And that's what it means is when you're your own... it's your own destiny. It's what you... And then they turned it into Manifest Destiny and killed all the Indians. But I digress.
Different.
Yeah.
Right. I think what Aaron says, that however people find peace in their lives is strong and is strength. Mm-hmm. But and finding through hate and discrimination, that's weakness.
Yeah. Well, and to follow up and answer the question a little bit, on my perspective, like... Maybe people get to religion out of weakness, but that's not always... Weakness is not always a terrible thing. Like, it's okay to not be 100%. Like, you can't have strengths in all of the categories. Like, it's okay to be weak. It's okay to ask for help.
No, and I'm not saying you shouldn't be weak at some point. And I do get that. It goes to what he said, the followers. If you're just a sheep who's blindly...
Yes.
I just don't get it. And I just don't know why you think every answer in the world is ever going to come out of a book that a lot of the stories have not have any founding.
But Clayton, if you think about it, some of that... Like, I guess what I was referring to when I was talking more of the cult stuff and joking, kind of, at the time about the Kool-Aid.
Kind of. I'm a really good cult leader.
Jones.
Jim Jones, right? That was...
And that's when you give up. That's when you give up all control.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I don't get that at all.
You just
it is used as a cover die. You're absolutely right.
And that's very hard for all of us that couldn't give up control if you paid us money.
Sure.
It's hard for us to imagine like being, oh sure, Mister, whatever. Yeah. Like the story I told earlier about me getting in an argument with somebody that I'm like, I'm sure I should be in some kind of like. A lesser stance and like abandon my point here.
Maybe I should back the fuck up.
But in my mind, I was like, no, this needs to, somebody has to say it out loud.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it came from me when I'm like, in another country, I probably should have been beheaded for what I suggested. Sure. But I think that's what's hard. And there's times that are difficult that you don't know. Like if you're in this flood victim and if you like watching all the people today, mm-hmm. She had such faith because you don't know what to do with like why does bad shit happen? So sometimes you just need someone to say, God works in mysterious ways or it's all part of some plan, and that way you can let it go because otherwise you'll be like you'll turn into a massive depressive, sitting at home like sobbing about like when is the flood going to raise 40 feet and wipe out a cabin that's miles away from flood? You know what I mean? Like all the things that are random, like. It does help you. You know what I mean? Like, I get that part where people find some comfort in horrible situations. You know, I'm around horrible situations enough to like, all right, if that's what you get your comfort.
If that's what gets you through.
If that's what's going to get you from here to tomorrow.
If that's what finds you your community, go for it. If that's what finds you, if that's what helps you sleep at night, if that's what helps you figure out why something happened.
I guess I'm just a lot more practical.
You are. And I can see that. And the thing is that...
The floods happen because humans are stupid and we've changed the entire... environment and ecological system.
Yeah. But there's no
floods happened before we did that too. Floods just happen.
Yes, floods just happen. There's no creation. It's evolution.
But not everybody's okay with it just is kind of an answer.
Yeah.
Some people need a finite
But it's not. But they can't touch it. It's not a tangible thing.
They don't have to touch it. They can believe in it.
They can believe in it because they've been told their entire life that there's a purpose. God has a plan, and I firmly believe in karma. Like,
and some people come to it way late after something traumatic. Like sometimes really bad shit just happens to people, and your brain has to be able to cope with it somehow. Some of us get really sarcastic and drink a lot. Some of us.
I don't know who you're talking about. Oh, you.
This bitch right here.
You didn't have your selfie stick, so I wasn't sure who you were talking to.
Some of us. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some of us get sarcastic and drink a lot. Some of us belittle other people. Some of us help other people. Some of us volunteer more. Some of us watch a lot more TV. Some of us, you know, read books. Some of us find religion. Like, everybody copes
in different ways. But everyone has to find their way to cope with shit. Because sometimes bad shit just happens and you can't, like, there's no karma to blame. Like, no one did anything bad. These are good people. Like, why would this shit go on?
When bad shit happens, I just fire up a lawnmower and mow a lawn and just...
Right.
And I'm with Mom and Dad, organized religion. Right. And that's where you find your comfort. That's your...
Release,
right. Mm-hmm. For me, like an organized religion, it's not about organized religion. It's my backyard. It's kind of going into my backyard and just... being able to kind of decompress and look at the beauty,
but
the
you're dealing with it, and you're not scapegoating something else into it.
But so are they. They're dealing with it, and they've just found a different outlet to say it's part of a plan. I don't understand the plan. I can't see it. Like,
sorry, I watched this last night. I bought everyone's sink.
Thank you, Jenny.
Well, and if you're Catholic, I mean, for God's sake, it's great aerobics. You know, you stand up, you sit down, you kneel, you stand up, you sit, you kneel, you stand up, you sit.
Oh,
Kat, would you grab that other Corona?
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of genuflecting. It's good. It's very, very good.
But. So, and that's what I said, and that's why I don't like to bash religion, because I've known very kind people who were very, very religious.
I'm with Richard. It's more about spirituality by far.
Yeah, and I'm more like a worship the trees kind of person, respect nature and all that kind of shit. But I also sometimes have to go sit in the floor with my headphones on and listen to Last Dance 100 times till I'm able to face, you know, face the world.
Meow Cal and Clayton are going to start the Church of the Ladder Lawnmowers.
Yeah, see?
The Latter-day Lawnmowers.
Perfectly appropriate.
I think it is.
And sometimes it's about finding just the peace with, and that's might be a better way to say it, like how you find your peace of mind, your tranquility. It could be yoga. It could be mowing a lawn. It could be with headphones watching Last Dance. It could be sitting somewhere playing trivia with the bar where your mind just turns off and you just go somewhere quiet.
Yeah.
And when you come
I get that aspect.
And for
I get
some people, that would be religion.
Thought of flipping through a book and reading a passage and dictating your entire life over something that was written by people, then we can't really confirm that has always baffled me.
What if it was a repair manual for a 1972 lawn boy?
Different thing. Because
see,
it's
same
a,
thing.
No, but it's based.
It's a how-to.
But it's based on fact. It's based on provable fact.
Yeah.
I'm not
tomato, tomato.
You're still not. People in a factory designed, built, and made something like that. But
I know.
That whole thing of died and was risen.
Trying to lighten it up, so let's move on to the next subject.
Yeah, but
let's go to Florida.
That's why we're just on sacrilege. But I boil it down to do unto others. So if I'm a little shitty and a little sarcastic, I expect it right back.
Absolutely.
Right,
and I agree that that's a good rule to live by. But there's no religion behind that. That's just a good mode of life.
But
don't fuck with people if you don't want to be fucked with.
I think it's those zealots that are on any kind of end, like Kat said, anything. And Just Me Martin had talked about, you know, that in excess. And anything that aside from the band, that's in excess is too much. You know, like, it's just too crazy.
Yeah, everything in moderation.
And it's because it's just too crazy. And and so when people that are religious come after you for not believing, that's stupid. And to come after somebody else who believes is stupid.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
I mean, let everybody believe whatever they want to. And just like...
As long as it's not inflicted, like the Duggars have done, where they want to get on their high horse and tell everybody that this is how life should be.
Or that Jim Jones
religion
wants
is
to
a
do
choice.
Something.
Religion
or,
is a choice.
Know, Yeah,
so,
it is. Big time.
Jesus, In and Out.
Yes, the Periscope is back on.
Oh,
In and Out, the movie?
No, yes, that too.
The burger? The burger? I love the burger.
One of the most, and it's like reading or poetry. One of the things that just, I can't nap for that long. That's me too. Meditation is I could take a nap, I could meditate.
Oh.
The one thing that I have found through religion over the course of my career, because I've heard it so many times in English and Spanish, and I find it comforting every single time I hear it, is the 23rd Psalm. The yea, though I walk through the
valley,
I should feel no evil. That, and in Spanish, it's absolutely I cannot express to you how beautifully poetic that is in Spanish.
Sure.
It's just, I find it very, and I'll sit there and cry when they're reading it to somebody, and I find it very moving. I don't really pay attention to it. It's just the gist of it just seems so comforting and so like you're going quietly into that good night. I mean, that's how I interpret it. I don't get into the details.
And that's the exact word, interpret.
Yeah.
Because it's all about interpretation. And I think that's what makes it difficult. Because you have these crazy fuckers that come out of nowhere that are interpreting it in such a discriminatory way, or such a we believe this, so you're wrong. And,
right.
And that an aunt can't be, because of being raised Hindu, if I understood that correctly, that he can't possibly be a good person.
Right. Yeah,
because I was raised Lutheran. And I'm correct.
Right. That's where I run into problems.
Me too.
Is with all the religions. If you're being kind with them, yes, then you can all believe whatever you want to. Like, yep. It's one of like when you hear some things, they just move you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like for the St. Crispin speech, the one we did a show the one day that was St. Crispin's Day. It's from We Band of Brothers, We Marry Few, or whatever that speech is from Henry V.
Mm-hmm.
Like that to me is on the same lines of Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will feel no evil. Like that speech is so moving and so I don't know what the hell he's talking about, and I certainly have never been like about to go into battle on St. Crispin's Day.
Right.
But I hear that and I'm very moved and I'm like, okay, let's go do something. Like, you know,
right,
what I mean?
Let's go.
Let's go ride my bike and get drunk. It's St. Crispin's Day. Like,
oh my God. Let's start an event. Let's do that. When is St. Crispin's Day?
We actually did a show on St. Crispin's Day, and I think we played it or we talked about it. But anyways, move on.
Yeah. I'm going to look it up.
Good job.
Let's go.
I enjoyed that. Thank you, guys. I enjoyed that. Everybody in the chat room, too.
There she is. She's broadcasting again, the Cat Carlson's of the world.
True story.
Oh, hi, Tomo.
Oh, Tomo, we need you.
Where is he?
Tomo's down...
New Zealand. He's in New Zealand.
I don't, but I don't see him in the chat room.
He's right here at the bottom.
Oh, he's right there. Look at that.
Well, I haven't seen it. How come he's not up there?
Well, because that one, the font's a lot bigger.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah,
the fonts are different on the different screens.
Florida first responders rescued a naked man from the top of a Fort Lauderdale drawbridge on Friday.
You don't say.
After he got stuck when the bridge was raised while he was walking across it.
Oh.
According to bystander David Isabel, he told the Sun Sentinel that the guy was swimming in the water previously and jumped out of the water and went to cross the bridge, trying to explain how the naked man ended up there. The bridge was coming up before he had gotten off the bridge, thereby making the man stuck at the very top. Fort Lauderdale firefighters initially tried to reach the man with ladders, the Associated Press reports, but the ladders weren't quite tall enough. Instead, members of the Broward Sheriff's Office scaled the structure, and after wrapping the man in a towel, secured him in a harness fixed to the structure, and then the bridge was slowly lowered back down. NBC Miami notes that this is the second time someone has required a rescue from the drawbridge within the past few years. The drawbridge, however, spends 95% of its time in the up position, and has multiple no trespassing signs all across the bridge. They said that in the news report they were going to lower the bridge down. They thought about it, but the bridge shakes so violently that they just knew that they'd sling him right off the bridge. So I'm thinking, well, he was already swimming. What the hell?
I mean, it happened in the following the other day. The guy lived.
If he lived in the following,
based on the fact that this is from Florida, I'm going to go with potentially bath salts may have been involved in this.
Are they still doing that, the bath salts? I haven't heard anything about that in a while.
I haven't heard of that or that alligator crocodile or whatever.
The heroin that eats your skin.
Yeah, like eats everything.
Yes.
Oh, too much.
No fun.
Oh, silly on Pop Tarts. Yay!
Oh, did he get it?
I love it.
Yeah,
Tomo, by the way, please email me or let us know somehow when you do get it, unless it's just you next Tuesday popping in and saying in the chat room they are. They are en route to you.
En route.
En route.
Oh, I think we found an answer.
So there's, oh.
Oh, look it. Gonna have to fill that thing up.
Now she knows how tired the cameraman's arms are that do handheld cameras.
Yes.
Right, I felt kind of like a gaffer.
Yeah, that's the word. Damn it.
Can you?
Damn it.
Now, look at your shot. You need to bring it down a little bit.
All right.
Bring it down. Yeah. Bring it down. Bring it down.
Oh. How's
that? Oh, that's good. That's good. Because the light from behind you is in your shot.
Oh,
there's
a glare. Sure.
Yeah, we can't have glare.
Filters. Where's my filter?
Where's the powder? Where's
somebody get me a dryer sheet. Get me a dryer sheet.
Good. Now I can start gaffing.
How do you feel about Cleveland?
Well,
I'm not sure.
The best divorce.
The line from Tootsie. She's like,
thank you.
Can you pull that shot a little bit? How far you want to go?
How do you feel about Cleveland? Is anybody like Harrison? One day told me, "Oh, I love traffic circles." I'm like, "Bitch, you obviously grew up where there were not traffic circles because those are just
death traps."
Yeah,
I mean, their cute one by Target here does not count as a traffic circle.
So, there's a couple of them here in town that have actually alleviated some traffic. There's one up in Scottsdale.
But then you get to
way far up there. That's because people are speeding down a different road.
But then you get to Columbus Circle in New York, and it's like hell's fury.
Oh, some of those.
But in Minnesota, they have them everywhere.
The only thing I'm more afraid of is drawbridges back east. Terrify the shit out of me.
Oh, sure, because they could go at any minute.
Night, you're like, I'm just convinced that they're just going to like ding, 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 and the train's
while
not coming.
You're sitting on it.
No,
right?
Your bridge is going straight up in the air. And I don't know if they have those in the prairies where you come from, but
rude
prairies.
Aren't you from like
where the wind blows?
Okay, so by the way, you have a bunch. I know that in Minnesota they're up.
I mean, it's not like I'm from some desolate land.
No, but isn't Oklahoma? Well, I mean, Missouri has rivers and roads, but yeah. Oklahoma is just one.
There's not a lot of drawbridges.
You're talking about drawbridges
because of
like
the rivers
north, from where,
the side of the side
Stillwater.
Of the state where we are from. We're opposite from the Mississippi River, and then there's some navigational channels in Oklahoma that there are some that do go up. Yes.
Oh, because they scare the batshit out of me.
I've never been worried by one.
Mm-mm. No, but
I figured that flashing lights and a sign is going to make me not go on it when they're going to lift it.
No, because you're already on there. And now everything's operated by some drunk guy who has been, got his nose in the Bible and forgets to look at him.
Yeah, he used to run the XN Valdez, and now he's doing that.
Jeez.
So it's a little disconcerting.
Death to traffic bumpy circles. Oh, my God. And Richard knows because Canada... Because it's practice Europe. Quebec is practice France.
Okay.
Practice France.
That's what we always called Quebec when I lived back there. It's called practice France.
Now I want to go to practice France.
Because
they'll
put a traffic fucking circle anywhere, and they're just death traps.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. People, you just merge and pray to God someone's not, it's not your number, your number's not up. Like, I hope this was not the day that they're going to kill me in the traffic circle.
Funny.
All right, Marina.
Well, or however I self-identify.
Whatever.
Exactly. There's boats there, sacrilegious bitch.
Sure. So the best divorce letter ever. I thought was fantastic. So very, very simply. Dear wife, I'm writing you this letter to tell you that I'm leaving you forever. I've been a good man to you for 7+ years, and I have nothing to show for it. These last 2 weeks have been hell. Your boss called me to tell me that you quit your job today, and that was the last straw. Your boss called to tell me that you quit your job today, and that was the last straw. Last week, you came home and didn't even notice I had a new haircut, had cooked your favorite meal, and even wore a brand new pair of silk boxers.
Ooh.
You ate in 2 minutes and went straight to sleep after watching all of your soaps. You don't tell me you love me anymore. You don't bring me flowers. Couldn't help
it.
You don't, write me
you don't
love
want
songs.
Sex or anything that connects us as
not
husband
in
and
silk
wife.
Boxers.
Either you're cheating on me or you don't love me anymore. Whatever the case, I'm gone. Your ex-husband. P.S. Don't try to find me. Your sister and I are moving away to West Virginia together. Have a great life.
Your sister and I.
Yeah. Dear ex-husband. Nothing has made my day more than receiving your letter. It is true. It's true. You and I have been married for 7+ years, although a good man is a far cry from what you've been. I watch my soap so much because they drown out your constant whining and griping. Too bad that doesn't work. I did notice when you got a haircut last week, but the first thing that came to mind was you look just like a girl. Since my mother raised me to not say anything, if you can't say something nice, I didn't comment. And when you cooked my favorite meal, you must have gotten me confused with my sister, because I stopped eating pork 7 years ago. About those new silk boxers, I turned away from you because the $49.99 price tag was still on them, and I prayed it was a coincidence that my sister had just borrowed $50 from me that morning. After all of this, I still loved you and felt we could work it out. So when I hit the lotto for $10 million, I quit my job and bought us 2 tickets to Jamaica. But when I got home, you were gone. Everything happens for a reason, she says. Everything happens for a reason, I guess. I hope you have the fulfilling life you always wanted. My lawyer said that the letter you wrote me ensures you won't get a dime from me, so take care. Signed, your ex-wife, rich as hell and free. P.S. I don't know if I ever told you this, but my sister Carla was born Carl. I hope that's not a problem.
I hope you like it up the pooper, because that's the only way you're getting in.
Wow!
Is that too much? Is that the line?
I thought
just
that was
enough.
Great.
That's just enough.
Just enough.
Too much, too little, too late.
Is Bruce Jenner in a corner crying? I'm
not
sure.
Oh, God.
Oh, now I've got an angle.
Too soon. Tilt your head. Just tilt your head.
You're not really in. Oh, there you are.
No, I'm good.
Loved that.
Artistic angles.
Loved
that. And we have a new listener over the United States. All over the United States. Gary.
Welcome, Gary.
Who are you, Gary?
All over the United States.
Seatmate of Mark in Phoenix.
Oh, of course. And of course, we know he's already there. Tom O. Canada. India is in the thing now.
Did Chloe leave us, do you think?
Yeah, who I don't was know who Chloe? Chloe.
I don't know who Chloe was.
I'm going to write down Chloe.
That was very nice for you to join us.
We're going to go with female. We're just going to guess, right? We're going to hope.
Well,
or maybe it's a
flip.
However they self-identify.
Yeah. A woman accused of assaulting her boyfriend was allegedly willing to do absolutely anything to avoid arrest, even rimming a police officer.
Atta girl,
yes.
Diane, salty dog.
Diane Thomas.
Sacrilegious.
Diane Thomas, who's 52, was arrested on May 16th. She's accused of punching her live-in boyfriend in the face multiple times and scratching him with her fingernails, the smoking gun reports.
Thomas,
who lives in Monroe, Louisiana, admitted to the assault but blamed the victim, saying that he was a bitch and got in her face, so she beat his ass. A police report obtained by the website alleges.
I like both of them.
When Thomas realized she was being collared in the crime, she tried to get officers to reconsider, explaining that she had a good job. Her pleas didn't work, so she allegedly offered to lick the officer's asshole.
Yes!
Rimming.
Officers chose not to take Thomas's butt bribe. Instead, they charged her with public bribery as well as a misdemeanor domestic abuse charge. Thomas has been since freed from the Ouachita Correctional Center on a $5,000 bond.
I think the word is analingus.
I think we had a show called that one time.
We did, Analingus.
We did have a show.
Yeah, we sure did.
It's the back door to Sorrylingus, right?
Where they won't let you in the front door to say, I'm sorry. Oh, you gotta go Analingus.
Gotta go in the back. That's how you do it.
Going all in.
Sorrylingus. That's still my favorite phrase in the English language.
Sorrylingus.
I'm pretty sure it's not even a word.
That was a good show. It is now.
Again. Oh, very nice. Thanks, Richard.
Who's Richard? Good. Who else?
Chloe had been in the chat room before.
I don't recall. But again, I do have Alzheimer's.
She's my neighbor, literally. Yeah. Well, again, if I had read the whole goddamn statement, I could have understood how you knew her. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you very much. Yes. Please tell her good night.
Oh.
I said good day.
Good day, sir. Good day. So this goes back to, and forgive me, it goes back to the Duggars, but when I saw this, it was about creationism and evolution. And so I thought
sacrilegious, fuckers.
Sacrilege. But I thought this was, when we talk about hypocrisy and we talk about how people just kind of come out of the fucking woodwork and bring things up that you're like, oh, now shut the fuck up. You know, you're going way too far. There is a creationism activist, which is frightening in and of itself.
Because the earth is 6,000 years old.
That suggested Josh Duggar be punished for molesting his sleeping sisters and their friends by being paid to campaign against LGBT people marrying one another, which is exactly what he was doing until Thursday. Well, he goes on and on.
And now he's back to finger in the dike with the...
So this thing, I had to read this a number of times.
Her sexual identity has not been revealed.
His way of thinking... His way of thinking is that since Josh molested these girls, which could damage their trust in men, which could damage their future marriages, could damage their future family, we should make Josh Duggar work the rest of his life to help families stay together and help them recognize how twisted the world is and how God offers instruction on how to live righteously.
Now, did he write a new how-to book that I missed on the bestseller list?
No.
Did George Burns come back and write another book?
Not that I'm aware of. This is Eric Hovland of the Olive Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. Should have known it was Florida. He should be forced to push. This is kind of the look on this. He should be forced to push faith, family, and freedom in the public, showing the Christian worldview
the
has
three
the
F's
answers.
Of a good time.
Right. He should be forced to get a job at the Family Research Council, whose mission is to advance faith, family, and freedom. He says, this Eric Hovland is the imprisoned creationist theme park operator. What the fuck is a creationist theme park? What the fuck is that?
It used to be called Opryland.
Yeah. Well, what? It's 6,000 years old.
It's called the Garden of Fucking
Eden.
It's
roller coasters made out of rock.
It's called Flintstones. Which was a documentary.
An apple in a tree, and if you can reach the apple, what the fuck? Anyway,
there's a whole segment on how two sons produce a grandkid.
He said,
without gay marriage. Now, where did they find an Asian kid? Where did they find a gay Asian, like an Asian kid to adopt?
That's a Gaysian.
Where did the two sons? Because clearly they had to get gay married. Where did they find an Asian? Or you know what I mean?
Asia, perhaps.
I don't know.
You're not following that one?
Did it come with a rug?
Yeah, we don't
know. They're the only two people on Earth, and they got a kid.
Yeah, no, I saw that earlier. But there's ages.
You're not following me on that whole adoption thing for the gay guys?
No.
No.
He's trying to go all Modern Family.
Yeah, I, well, no, I thought that, and I'm like, well, you're not, why would you say that when we're talking about
and the... it's too early to know she can't drive.
Should have seen that coming.
I already is.
Yeah.
Sacrilege. He said that Duggar was the victim of a double standard by the media, of course.
No, double standard. Yeah, yes. Double standard.
Which he said praised sin such as lust and abortion and homosexuality, but condemned confession, judgment, and forgiveness. Naturally, of course, he then blamed evolution. If evolution is true, then there is no absolute right and wrong. This was too much for me. If evolution is true, Josh should not have admitted his faults over a decade ago, because what one evolved bag of molecules does to another bag of molecules just doesn't really matter.
Jesus Christ.
Right? If evolution is true, there is no ultimate judge on the bench who will hold every man, woman, and child responsible for their actions. And if evolution is true, you will not give an account for every idle word you speak.
So Kirk Cameron was like right there with color commentary.
And these are friends of Kirk Cameron's. Yes, friends of Kirk Cameron's. And this is what I was talking about, because standing by my friend, this Ray Comfort, who's another fucking douchebag, said, my friend Josh Duggar, as a brother in Christ... This was in his BC days. Such were some of us. His before Christ days. Before he found Christ.
He found Jesus and no longer wanted to touch a lady's vagina.
He was behind the couch the whole time.
Like, as long as I ask forgiveness.
Did you ever see that Jesus tarred Kirk Cameron hold a banana and tell you that's why evolution's not true? Because a banana has finger grooves or some shit? Have you ever spent time with the Kirk Cameron?
No.
And he is touched.
He is.
Not outside of growing pains. Yeah. I did not.
Oh my God. You got to hear his whole thing about the banana and what he, like, why?
She puts the banana in the tailpipe.
Or else she gets the hose again.
The fact that he apparently, because even though he was reared, he was reared.
I'm dying for good rearing
in a Christian household. Sacrilege.
Bottle of wine, you'll be fine.
He molested family members and friends before he became a Christian.
Right.
So you know, there's that. And the New Zealander, this is that Comfort douche nozzle, said he would stop watching TLC because it suspended its popular 19 Kids and Counting after the publication of a police report that was hastily ordered to be destroyed Friday by a judge with political ties to the Duggar family. TLC knew about this back in 06 and did not take the family off the show. That's what I was referring to.
They've been on the air that fucking long?
Oprah. I didn't realize that. Authorities that investigated the incident felt that it was handled in a way that no further charges were necessary. So the fact that they bring evolution into it and try to put a spin on it, this creationism and evolution, it just amazes me the lengths that they'll go to I don't know.
And my new thing
turn
is
turn shit around and Kirk Cameron it.
My new question for people BC. Is I need to know if you believe in evolution, like. Because, you know, I...
That's a good one. You've moved past the age of where you have to ask, do you have a car, do you have a job, do you have a house?
Now I need
to
know.
And it's, do you believe in evolution? Are you a Republican?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't care about
Republicans.
I don't care about the Republican thing, but I need to know that you got a firm hand on evolution. Because if we're arguing about the Flintstones being a documentary... We got to go.
That's an argument I don't need to have more than
yabba
once in
dabba
life.
Don't.
Yeah. Sacrilegious, but I'll take it.
I like it.
Oh my God. Okay. So what? The worst thing, Marnie's girl, Ernie, awake at 8:47. God bless her.
She's on school's break.
Out. I know. She's on break now.
Alice Cooper once said it as school's out for summer. So.
We're Christian. The family was die. He apparently wasn't, which is very. Convenient.
Yeah. When Indiana, well, he wasn't born again. He was only born the first time. You got to get born again.
Oh, that's right.
When NASCAR is offering moral influences to the state of Indiana, you know you are completely morally bankrupt when NASCAR is pointing out how to run your life. I'm sorry, Duggars, Duggars, whatever your fucking names are. When Honey Boo Boo's mom comes off as the sanctimonious one and is completely justified.
Yes,
you got
exactly.
some explaining to do.
Hey Lucy. Yeah,
when the lady with like neck fat and like sweat stains. that's dumpster diving, has the moral high ground.
Just take all of that out of it and just say, the chick that had the show with Honey Boo Boo on
the woman
it.
Who's dumpster diving as a family vacation. That's
the bisexual woman who's dumpster diving.
Right, dumpster diving. Yes. That's her version of the...
Because everybody's a little bit gay.
The creationism theme park is taking place in that dumpster. Like, that's come so on.
Oh, it's awful. Yeah. Terrifying.
Terrifying.
Yep. All right. One final story in our little headline section. It's a recap. Remember some weeks ago?
Oh, God.
We talked about the guy called the Dancing Man who was body shamed online because a girl started dancing.
Yes, Dancing Man. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well,
Twitter found him within
a
day.
His name is Sean O'Brien. He was body shamed and bullied for dancing in public. A tribe of body positive women tracked down O'Brien, also known as the Dancing Man, to remind him that he can dance whenever the fuck he wants to, and they were inviting him to have his very own dance party. Well,
and it was a posh fucking party. They were having it in LA. They were having it at like a big venue.
After few months of planning and preparation, the Dancing Man finally got his dance party this past weekend, and no bullies were invited.
Oh, very nice.
The festivities were organized by Dance Free Movement, and almost 1,000 people turned out to dance with the Dancing Man himself in this past Saturday night's May 23rd event at the Avalon Nightclub in LA. The star-studded event included appearances from Monica Lewinsky, who has been notably in the past.
Cyber bully advocate,
right?
I'll name her that if nobody else will.
Comedian Damien Merlina?
Sure.
And a video message from Pharrell Williams. Events were held throughout the weekend to celebrate the 46-year-old O'Brien and the body positivity movement. On Friday, he appeared on the Today Show with a woman who launched the Twitter campaign that was a hashtag Find Dancing Man. Her name is Cassandra Fairbanks, to talk about the amazing experience that they are going through. And right before the interview, Meghan Trainor surprised O'Brien on stage, and they had an impromptu dance party with the entire crowd on the Today Show. So I just thought it was great that he got shamed. They did Twitter. They found him. They raised money, brought him in, and had a big fucking party.
Yeah, because wasn't that GoFundMe like $10,000 the last time we talked about it? Like, it was kind of a lot of money.
It was a lot, but they got it all pulled together. I thought that was a fantastic thing. He also threw out the first pitch at the LA Dodgers and the San Diego Padres game, rounding out the weekend on a high note for himself.
You got to hope he loves baseball, or that's kind of wasted.
He was in a jersey. He was on the pitcher's mound. He was out there. I'm sure he had a good time.
But that's like me throwing out the first pitch. Okay, but why?
What the fuck is this for? Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. What's this doing for me?
Is this hockey?
Yeah. I thought there'd be more ice.
I know. I felt it was slipperier.
But I thought that was just a great story that they got it all pulled together. He had a good time. And, there was a dance party. I thought that was fun.
That is fun.
I like it.
I liked it.
Very good. Well, good all right.
Work. Stop repeating me, goddamn Echo.
Stop repeating me, goddamn
wow,
Echo.
There's that. Oh, all right. It's 10 in front of 9, our time. And it's time for Al Perkins and his little segment we call Entertainment.
good intro.
Yeah.
Shit happened.
Whoopi Goldberg is just having a shitty week. Fun show starting on NBC this Thursday. We have a death. Walgreens does something right, and it turns out I didn't prepare for this segment at all. I didn't write anything down.
Oh.
Atta girl.
Shocker.
The best show on TV starts next week, and I have a couple little thoughts on a couple different things.
Nice.
Ken, I hope you're prepared, because I didn't.
I should probably go do that then.
Okay.
Talk a while.
So we have to...
Talk amongst yourselves.
We have to start with Anand because I think we cut off last week before we were able to tell him. We did the songs with meaningful lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff like that a couple weeks ago. And Anand had left us some links that I made you keep up.
Mm-hmm.
So I went home that night and I watched them. And Anand, they were beautiful songs. Yep. Both of them.
Yeah, thanks for sharing those because they were real.
One was actually a song that it was English and sung in another language. And it was a song that we all know. And it was kind of a religious song. But I, for the life of me, I can't think what it was.
No,
the other one was just fun.
Greatest
videos
love
are
of
always
all.
Fun.
Was it Hold On for One More Day?
No.
It was not. I'm clear about that. But both songs are beautiful, and so I wanted to let you know that we did watch them. Now, Whoopi Goldberg, her brother died, and as far as I'm concerned, Whoopi Goldberg is having the Rose Kennedy of years.
A hell of a year, yeah.
Because all of her close friends and mentors and
her back
and associates are all, like, dropping like flies, and her tits, too. I just felt so bad to hear,
that's why she was
gone for 2 weeks, and she doesn't talk of him. She doesn't speak of him a lot. But when she had her own sitcom, he was a featured character. Like she made sure to include him in her sitcom.
What was her sitcom?
I think it was called Whoopi.
I don't remember at all.
She owned a hotel in... she was a hotel manager in New York. It was her and her brother that
vaguely
were running the hotel.
Remember this. All right.
And it was one of those shows that started off kind of rough. Yes, it was We Shall Overcome. Yes, and it was it was beautiful.
Beautiful.
So Aquarius starts this Thursday on NBC. It's David Duchovny, and it is the story of Vincent Bellagosi. What is his name? The prosecutor that wrote the book about Helter
Vincent
Skelter.
Vincent Bellagosi.
But yes. Mm-hmm. So it's his story. Yeah. It's called Aquarius.
Yeah.
It looks really good. The reviews have not been terrific, but I think the ads look good. I'm not watching Wayward Pines, although I kind of wish I was, but there's always time to catch up.
I've watched the first two.
And yeah, because I'm one of the few people that still likes M. Night, and I like the whole cast. Mm-hmm. This was actually filmed a little while ago, so that's why they got so lucky with their casting that Terrence Howard mm-hmm. is like the cast is kind of phenomenal in it because they all just got hot through the course of this season through Empire and through
other shows
right. that all of these things have caught on in the
Julia
meantime.
Julia Lewis was just in
Secrets and Lies.
Secrets and Lies, right?
So the cast is kind of like on a hot streak. So the show is kind of setting up, but of course there is always on demand, and I'm sure I will catch up because the reviews have been fairly good, and I'm very curious.
Yeah.
I'm half an episode away from finishing Grace and Frankie, and I cannot...
How in love are you?
It's spectacular.
Seriously.
Just in love. It is fantastic writing. Marta Kaufman from Friends.
Yep.
And I can't think of her name. The one that was one of the... Alexa...
Sure.
Her name is Alexa something. Anyway, she's from Sex and the City. She's from Friends. She's a writer, producer. Just adds that little special... something and that show Netflix people like
seriously if it says Netflix at the top just watch it
and I do it and speaking of Kool-Aid and weak people I am I am all in on Netflix
and Grace and Frankie was one of those like it's only what like 7 episodes right
13
or is it 13
but it goes by like 7
so fast and it was one of those like you know some shows you just watch and you're like okay that was good and you move on with life but this one like actually changed me like
yeah
actually
I felt it was a nice companion piece to Transparent. I haven't
seen Transparent yet. It's on my potential for the next obsession.
Oh please make it your next and this because especially if you like this like the warmth of it and just mm-hmm. like it's such it beautiful
so good and
writing.
Like I was heartbroken at the right heartbreaking places and entertained at the right entertaining places and. Yeah.
Oh, and Jenny,
that one is wonderful.
Don't stop at episode 2. The earthquake episode will make you pee
so
your
much
pants
fun.
A little bit.
So much fun.
But there's so much heart in this show, and it's mm-hmm. so well written. And the fact that, and it like Friends,
and it's believable. Like I'm into it. I believe the premise. I believe the people. I believe, you know, I'm not going. Yeah, okay. I see where you're going with it, but absolutely not.
Episode 1, I was a little late to the Sam Waterston. Martin Sheen game.
Are you still seeing him as President Bartlett? Is
no,
that the problem? Because that was my problem.
By episode 2, I believe them as characters. Like, I stopped seeing the acting and I started seeing the characters.
Stop thinking Law and Order and West Wing.
No, but I really felt the acting was like, I felt like the lines weren't quite ringing.
Oh, the first
for
one hadn't quite.
Yeah, I thought they rang the bell really well for the women and a very rare thing for me for TV. I thought the men were a little underwritten.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of like, we need a little depth to these two. Like, I just
these
don't
guys need a little something because we
got,
know it's going to be about the women, but they need a backstory. They need
to make them as believable and not caricatures and stuff. And they had a nice flashback in the episode where they're trapped in the elevator, and they have that nice flashback about the day they tried to tell the wives and everything that went wrong,
and then everything was going on, and like the baby was born and all that. Yeah,
just beautifully, beautifully, beautifully written. And Lily Tomlin is just the all-star of all time. Like, this is one of the... this is the performance... What is she? She's 70-something years old.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. This is the is the role of her lifetime. She has never been this good in anything. And it's written to her strength. Like, oh, it's just... it's a delight. And the fact that, just like Friends, they weren't friends when they met. Like, you met them... when a few of them met for the same time, like Rachel and Phoebe don't really know each other. Phoebe doesn't really, like, there's little parts that they have to develop their relationship. Mm-hmm. And so Grace and Frankie aren't friends.
Right, they just know each other. They're the wives.
Yeah, they don't really like each other.
75.
And to have a part this well written for someone of that age and female, because female parts are so shitty, 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 shitty lately. except for on TV, where it's the golden age of television for women, that this part is written just to her strength so beautifully. And their chemistry together is spectacular. Like, it's a joy.
So much
fun. A joy to watch. It's a joy to watch. That's it for that. And Mira, another joy to watch.
Yeah, that was sad.
She died not young and needlessly. She was in her 80s.
Yep, 85, I believe.
But yeah. One of those people that, like, very early on influenced me on what was funny, like, people that I really found as a young child, because I was never really a child. I was never watching, like, Sesame Street or any of that shit. I was always a little bit watching older stuff. So I was watching wine
commercials.
In a
caftan, drinking a gin, right.
Right, I was drinking a glass of gin.
He was Mrs. Roper sitting in the chair.
At eight. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
and with the disco ball downstairs, I like it.
Well, it wasn't a disco ball. What we had was this basement light that flashed to the beats. So it had like four. It had five.
Was it like
diamonds.
The gyroscopy? Like
yeah. So it went da 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 da, and the lights would light up. And he was like, "Oh my god!" I was like, "Can't wait to smoke pot for this." So anyways, so and now we all I think we talked about it at dinner the other night. The Blue Nun commercials that were radio ads that I thought they were TV ads. I didn't realize they were radio spots. But they had all these Blue Nun ads, mm-hmm. and they had signed up for Blue Nun. But they did radio ads for other things too. But
I don't remember that.
Just really funny, kind of like James Garner and Marriott Hartley. What was her name that did all the commercials? Where it was a continuing saga as you watched the commercial, and they were kind of falling in love, and it was a coffee commercial.
It was
and
coffee.
Every couple months they would update. Well, the wine commercials were very similar, but very funny.
Diller and Mira.
Excuse me, miss, but you seem to be having trouble picking out a wine. Maybe I can help you.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I never talk to strangers.
Oh, how did you know?
What do you mean, how did I know? You're a stranger.
Right, Elliot Stranger.
Is that really your name?
No, it's really Elliot Sverdlick, but I do meet a lot of pretty girls.
I like you, Elliot. You're weird, but I like you. Maybe you can help. See, I'm having some friends over for smorgasbord, some shrimps, a little cheese, some meatballs. What kind of wine can you serve with all those things?
May I suggest you have a little Blue Nun at your smorgasbord?
Oh, I don't think she'd have a very good time. Besides, it's going to be all couples.
No. Blue Nun wine. It's a delicious white wine that's correct with any dish. Meat, fish, cheese, meatballs.
Oh, Blue Nun. Oh, Elliot, you made me a convert.
I suppose you're going to drink it religiously.
Yeah, it's going to become a real habit.
Oh, my God, I don't remember
that's fun.
Those. That's good.
Totally remember those.
But I mean, and it was one of those things that it was just dry enough and just the right level of puns that I wasn't offended like I am with you.
I knew that was sacrilege. I knew that was coming. How rude.
But I really enjoyed them as a child. It was
very fun. I remember them from not only that, but just other things. They worked so well together and playing off. They were the married couple that always fought, like, in different their skits that they would do.
But not fought. Like, never bitter, just oh, I don't know what the word would be. Like, sparred. Like, it was a nice banter. That's a nice word for
banter.
It. It was always
a spirited banter.
Sacrilege. So, the bad part about the drinking word is I just drink without it. So,
well, it doesn't matter. We drink
the spirit
anyway.
Moves me.
We don't even have to have a drinking word to drink. I mean, that's part of the joy
the
of following this Kool-Aid carnival.
Yeah, Kool-Aid carnival.
That's the name of the show.
Carnival.
Write that down.
Kool-Aid carnival.
It's even European to make it harder to pronounce.
That's so cool.
Kool-Aid carnival.
Fun.
Little thing over the A. There you go. Carnival. There you go. The tagline should be, oh, yeah. All right, kids, one more hour to go. Al's going to do some more of his entertainment stuff. Then Kat Carlson's got her little segment that it's going to involve a selfie stick and a podcast all her own.
It totally is. It's the Kat Carlson podcast.
It is.
Yay!
We'll be back in mere moments right here on Q Talk America.
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Good evening again, everybody. Just a little bit after the hour. This is our hour 3 coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And it's Studio C, where we join you each week 7 to 10 p.m. our time, and we are glad to have you with us from all around the world. Anant and Tomo and Richard was with us earlier. Aaron from L.A., all joining us each week. Thank you so much for being with us.
And Jenny, our new devotee.
Yes. So many people around it. Fantastic.
You know who you are.
We will continue on in this hour. By the way, our drinking word, Al.
Sacrilege.
Sacrilege. We'll continue on. We're in the middle of Al's segment. It's entertainment or anything that he chooses to find on his iPad.
Well, our most important thing, and now Anant has sparked up an interest, so I feel completely justified in going on for 57 minutes on this topic. But the greatest show on broadcast television currently returns to us June 4th, 2015. If you need me that day, well, I'll be at work, but I'm taping it. Hannibal comes back with, and Anant was just saying in the chat room how much he absolutely loves Mads Mikkelsen, and I agree. And if
I saw that, and I wasn't sure who that was.
He is Hannibal in one of TV's greatest performances, especially to take over something that has already has the definitive performance. Like Anthony Hopkins has pretty much, you thought, had the lock on that one, and that no one should ever touch that role again. But as happens in theater, where you can change out parts, and, you know, over the hundreds of years, people played other things.
Since Taye Diggs is now going to be
Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Thank you. I couldn't get it yet.
I renamed the show. It's Hedwig and the Angry 10 Inches.
Because I have Taye seen Diggs. That boy in tight white pants, and let me tell you, there's a lot going on.
Nobody's going to be angry.
And that is not sacrilege. Anyways, let's just go through The Hunt. Anyway, so I'm going to say his name wrong. It's Mads Mikkelsen. The Hunt is the movie by him that I recommend to everyone at all times. The Hunt, The Hunt, The Hunt. It did not win the Oscar for Best Picture, Best Foreign Film the other year, but it was just genius. So anyways, that comes back next week. There is some kind of story where they're not going to go with the beauty. It's not going to be gorgeous and gory this season.
Washington, D.C. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's flying from Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. back to... Marcus flying back from Washington, D.C. to Phoenix. So very excited. Very, very, very excited about that. And if you're not watching it, please catch up. I'm pretty sure it's on Amazon Prime. If it's not, spend the money. Doug Wilkie still has my copy of season one, but I'll get it to you. It's just genius television. And it's gorgeous. It's one of those shows that makes you just love, 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 love your TV. And it's so upsetting. I can't stress enough. This is not happy TV in any way, shape, or form. One character is having a nervous breakdown, and the other one is a homicidal maniac that eats his victims in beautiful culinary arts. Like, you're like, oh my God, that looks delicious. And then you realize, oh no, that's the guy we met in the last scene. That's now on the table.
Lovely.
The other thing, Amy Schumer, uh-huh. Amy fucking Schumer, Amy Schumer, Amy Schumer, Amy Schumer. Whatever you're doing, and even poor people have Comedy Central. And if you can't, Comedy Central doesn't care, steal it offline. This bitch be funny. I just watched like 17 episodes over the last 2 days.
Fucking Jenny. My cunt.
My
she
cunt.
Just makes me laugh.
Everything about the show, but Amy goes deep. The last segment where she interviews people, she interviews like a bisexual kind of prostitute comedian who does all kinds of weird shit and likes to sleep with chicks with dicks. To sleeping, like interviewing actual transsexuals.
Who am I to judge?
To gigolos, to hookers, to paid telephone sex. Her last, every segment of the show is funny, whether it's the skits or the stand up or the end where she does an interview. She does on the street interviews with people where she asks them about sex toys or the favorite way to have an orgasm. Like, this show just fires kind of.
So is she like who's the guy that runs around gayer than Christmas and yells at people?
Yes, him. I know who you mean.
Like do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, he was on Parks and Recreation the last two seasons. Yes. I can't remember his name. It's like that, but it's very, like, interviewee style, and it's on the streets
but
of New York.
But like a surprise thing, walking up to people staged.
No, it's not staged at all. And it'll just be, like, she's not trying to shock them. Like, clearly she gives them a little warning, like, this is going to be adult. We're going to be talking about something, and then she'll just be like... big ass, big tits. What are you into? And like, I watch all the repeats at 3 o'clock in the morning, so they swear. The only thing they can't say is like name brand products. So they'll say fuck her in the tits and come on her face, but they'll bleep out Diet Coke. You know what I mean? Like, it makes no sense.
Talk to me what milk lemonade is.
Oh my God.
This is my
I just can't believe the level of sadness you all live with.
I'm sorry. She made her video called. I haven't seen it yet.
And it's kind of making fun of the fact that everyone's into people's asses right now, like into girls' asses. And she's like, milk lemonade. This is where the poop is, you know, the fudge is made. And it's all about, it's where my poop comes out. Like, you like it, but it's where I shit from. And it's very, very graphic. So she keeps like playing with her tits and like playing with her crotch. And then they just keep making reference to the fact that like, I shit out of here, people. And it's really fucking funny.
Well, you had said last week, like, watch it. And I just haven't had a chance yet.
And 12 Angry Men was fantastic. I mean, I'm just watching. I tape it because all night, like tonight it's on for real, like in an hour and a half our time, it's on for real. Okay. But then on Wednesday, on Tuesday nights into Wednesday morning, they play them uncensored. And they'll play all the first two seasons. So I think there's like four or five episodes in a row. So that's what I did yesterday with my nothing to do. I would nap and then watch an episode of that, laugh myself stupid, and like try to post things or text people. It's just fucking nuts.
Nice.
All right, let's just go back and see. So Amy Schumer, that's all I'm going to talk about till y'all fucking watch it. And I'll
And challenge then today, accepted.
And then today she had Bill Nye the Science Guy.
That's why you said
which
Bill
must
Nye.
Be it must be from today's show because do you not watch the clips I post on there? I give you instructions.
I know you do, but I don't know. I haven't.
Okay, but Bill Nye the Science Guy, the two girls from Broad City and Amy Schumer do the whole thing about the universe is telling me to do this, and he's like, "No, the universe is for a lot of things. It's not to tell bored white women when to go to the movies." And Bill Nye decides, they go to all these different white women talking about the universe was telling me to watch this on cable. And Bill Nye's like, no, it's not for bored white women in yoga pants. We do this shit. And it's, and just that Bill Nye is like raises to their level of, bye darling.
Thank you.
That Bill Nye raises to their level, like just too fucking funny. All right. Let me just figure out. I had one more thing on here.
That's fantastic.
Walgreens MacBook. What the hell? Why did this thing go to MacBook? Face. What's it called? Not face.
FaceTime.
Spell check has been fucking with me all day today. I clearly typed Facebook and it made it MacBook. I don't even know what a MacBook is.
That's the.
But
it's,
I ain't got
it's the laptop version of an Apple computer.
Yeah. That's one of the only things from the Kool-Aid department that I did not purchase.
Right.
So Walgreens made a big deal.
Because you
couldn't
lock it to a desk.
CVS dropped the Duggars and their 19 fucking children earlier in the week. Mm-hmm. But Walgreens put out a statement like, we're monitoring the situation. And like they got hit with 8 million comments saying, what are you monitoring? He admitted to diddling little girls.
Yeah.
You're done. So legit. Walgreens is legitimately answering all of your, so if you put something shitty about the Duggars or the Duggars or
the
Boogers, whatever their names are,
the Boogers,
the douchestars,
you get a reply from Walgreens saying, we're sorry you're not up to date, but we did drop our affiliation with them.
Oh, and they've hired an intern to do that?
Interesting.
Yeah. So, and I can't remember what web page I was, I was on TLC sending them hate mail.
Sure.
And
like you do.
Oh, no, I was on Mike Huckabee. I was sending Mike Huckabee hate mail.
Like you do.
Wait, time out. I have
that's
a question.
Awesome.
She has two questions.
I have a lot of time for hate mail.
Hashtag it is not okay.
I just have one question. On average, say in a week, how many different sites do you go to send hate mail on average weekly?
How many children have been molested? No, I'm just kidding. I'm usually like one a week on the hate mail.
Okay. This has been a banner week.
It's been a busy week.
But now, because I'm bannerific. Literally bannerific. That's a word.
Okay.
I like it.
Good.
But it's fun because now that I know that you get instant gratification from it, I can't stop. That Mike Huckabee responds like, Jesus loves you too, cunt. I mean, that's pretty much what he said back to me.
Well, what did you say to him?
I just said that you're a disgusting creep and should stay out of our government because you compare homosexuals to Nazis, but you're okay with a child molester.
Right.
All right.
Good.
That might be verbatim. But the best part
not
is
sacrilege.
Now, because I don't really understand the Facebooks or the social medias.
It's okay. I will help you.
I don't know how my going in and having a private moment with Mike Huckabee with my clothes on. Friends of mine know that I was on that page and liked it.
Because the Facebooks says to you, oh, Al T. Perkins commented on such and such a thing. Like, if it... Everybody has like a little bubble.
It's like a little feed on the right side.
No, not no. even that. It'll show up in your newsfeed mm-hmm. because everybody has a little bubble. And so when your bubble touches things that are also in my bubble, then it tells me about things that activity that
you
have. Now,
were you okay with me touching your bubble? Because I don't remember asking.
By the way, you can touch my bubble anytime you want, which is awkward. But I'm okay with it. Yeah, sadly. It's okay.
I'm so creeped out right now.
All right. Move along. So to finish touching your bubble, I will just all of your bubbles. Sacrilege. I will just point out that it
show
is,
me on the bubble where I'll touch you.
Yeah. Pop the bubble where I'll
where
touch
on the sphere.
You.
It is John Wayne's birthday, who was my dad's favorite. Oh. And due to my dad's love of John Wayne, and because back in the 70s, there was nothing else to do on Sundays after church, because mm-hmm. that David and Goliath show got a little boring with
little
the claymation.
Boring. Yeah. Good point.
I used to love, and if he wasn't watching Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney movies, he would watch John Wayne movies, and I actually preferred the John Wayne movies.
Okay.
The Duke.
That's something you would be
I am really fucking familiar with John Wayne's oeuvre. It's scary to think when I look at lists of John Wayne movies, I'm like, oh my God, I've seen every fucking one of those. I adore him, but The Searchers is my all-time favorite. Kind of racist, not going to lie to you.
So was Blazing Saddles.
The Indians, so is the show.
No, but that's trying to be funny.
Oh, my bad. Sorry. I thought it was a documentary.
Yeah. No. That's the Flintstones. Damn it.
Similar.
Oh, God, that's what I was supposed to do. Anyways, I tore out a page. Next week, I will have a documentary on HBO about a corrupt cop.
You
in
will
the
have
80s.
One?
No, 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 no. Yes, I made a documentary last week.
Did you do it
it's
on Periscope?
Tape.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Oh my God, I'm going to make Periscope documentaries.
But I will find it because I'm a little bit behind on Entertainment Weekly. So instead of writing them down because I've been in my living room with no like ability to walk, I just tear out the pages like she does, but I have them next to me. So I have a fabulous documentary that I'll find. I will recommend you all for next week for your summer viewing. That just sounds incredible. And it's a corrupt cop that all the time has passed and he confesses to everything on video.
Oh.
And I think he's from Cleveland or Cincinnati or wherever white Probably, people are. Yeah. Have a reign of terror going on, and it yeah. is just
there are white
nuts.
People in both of those places.
Yes, yeah. But it's just nuts. That, like this documentary, the reviews are spectacular, and it's on HBO currently. But I did not write it down.
Name again? Oh, you don't know the name?
John Wayne.
And I'm so sad John I don't Wayne. Know the name. But I tore the page out of the Entertainment Weekly that was supposed to go in my purse today, but it didn't. It's I can picture it still sitting there on the table.
Drat.
So it's next week. I'll give it to you.
Drat.
Very exciting. Good luck. It's your turn.
Good. All right, here I go.
There we go. Oh,
wait.
Sacrilege!
I'm starting my broadcast for my segment. And this week in hashtags and homos, I've got an anti-gay marriage bill. Yep, that's still happening. I've got... Oh, I just lost the page that I was reading off of. That's a lot of fun. I've got... Nothing. No, I'm going to blow my whole intro.
Well, blow your hole. How are we going to get there, honey?
Blew the whole thing.
Whatever you need.
There it is.
She's shitting on her own segment, ladies and gentlemen.
I shit
the... Loser! That's what it said to you.
I shit on my own segment because I hit the button on the thing.
We are so prepared for this entire
the
extravaganza.
Sad part is
and one of my favorite comments has been on the website, like over the past few years.
Right.
Somebody caught our show and doesn't get the irony that we don't prepare. And they're like, Jesus Christ, do some research and prepare for this show.
No, because that would make too much sense.
Why?
Because it's so much fun. All right, look at that. I've got five people sucked into my segment. Okay. So I actually did prepare, but then I just hit wrong buttons.
I hate when that happens.
All right, so we're gonna start low and end high.
Oh,
that's a good way.
Yeah.
You should buy and sell that way, too.
Yes,
I think.
Buy low, sell high.
We're gonna go down first, and then we're gonna come back up.
Oh.
So we're gonna start with Texas, who should really just secede at this point. I'm completely over it.
Well, they might just fall off. We're not sure.
Frequent listeners or people that pay attention to current events will note that Texas is still awaiting Supreme Court decision on gay marriage to decide whether or not their ban is constitutional. They're part of that whole thing. But recently, the Senate decided to give just another tiny little fuck you to married, you know, to gay people in marriage.
Okay.
The Texas Senate on Tuesday approved a measure that would forbid state or local governments from using public money to issue same-sex marriage licenses. Yeah.
Wait,
just
wait,
let
repeat
that. Let that sink in again. There you go.
Yeah.
I meant literally. Say that to me again.
Yep. A Texas Senate committee on Tuesday, that'd be today, approved a measure that would forbid state or local governments from using public money to issue same-sex marriage licenses.
So an entirely different, separate, standalone department has to be created for these?
No. How's it going to? Because
privately
it's still
funded?
Using public money.
Right. So you just right. have to pay
so
for it yourself.
Maybe, but specific to gay marriage, not okay.
No, I'm with you on that. I'm just was wondering what their workaround was going to be.
Well, even better, and the state rights.
Not reach around, not reach around.
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
Very different.
Yeah. Even better, another fun thing that Republican-controlled bodies of Congress are starting to do, as in the state of Arizona, is they're starting to rush these votes so that the Democrats that could possibly vote against, or the reasonable people that could possibly vote against, don't show up. State of Arizona's done this on 5 different bills. Mm-hmm. They voted in the middle of the night when nobody's paying attention. They've rushed the vote. They've made sure they've got quorum or whatever they need, and then zing it right in before they can even get a fair vote.
Zing with a snap. I like that. Snap? That was good.
God, I hope we captured that on your Periscope.
Yeah. In the case here in Texas, Democrats say that they were not given enough time to review the bill before it voted on Monday. And a commenter from Senator Sylvia Garcia says, I can assure you that myself and another senator would have voted no if they had known what was in the goddamn bill, because the problem is there's so many bills, like, and you only have so much staff to be able to read it. So the Republican-controlled bodies of Congress, you know, the various state and local legislative bodies, are just bum-rushing all of these bills.
Right, with all these writers in them. I hate writers.
Yeah, they're basically burying them in paperwork and paperwork
Amendment
and paperwork.
16,
amendments
page 12 below the fold, they just run them through.
Yeah. Specifically to Texas, Texas already has a constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage. The Supreme Court will make a ruling this summer on the constitutionality of same-sex marriage bans. If the court strikes down the Texas ban, it would likely have ramifications on this bill, the HB 2977.
Right, that just means that you just have to keep suing Texas. And now, I just have to start shitting on your segment right
please
now.
Please do.
Now, I think it was actually here, if we can get a playback, which I know we can't, but let's just say we could. I think last week when we were talking about
I could do a dramatic reenactment.
Oh.
I will accept your offer.
All right, deal.
I think last week we were talking about the crazy governor thinking that the military exercises were a way for the government to take over Texas. And one of us actually said, yeah, they're going to be suspicious of the government until next week when they need more money. And we joked about the tornadoes being why they would need more money.
And look at them now.
Today... The governor of Texas had to call Obama and, like, you need to rush FEMA down here. And Obama's on TV. And I don't want to say he was laughing, but he was doing the whole, like, touch his face as he, like, I assured the governor that government resources were on their way as quickly as possible. And, of course, we wouldn't do anything to stop any government intervention in Texas. And you could just see it in his face. He has such senioritis that he's becoming almost Pope Frank in his fun. I love him. But and I don't know if I'm just reading body language into him, but oh my Lord.
Yeah,
it was delightful.
Delightful.
That is also delightful. Just out of curiosity, may I address?
Please, are we addressing the chat room?
I was wondering, yes, we're addressing the chat room. I was wondering who Richard is
speaking the French to?
Politicking. Politicking.
He's
when he
politicking?
Says, fuck, then I don't want to screw it up.
I think it's austerity.
Austerity.
Got it.
Okay. En français.
Got it. That's why I was like, wait a minute. I thought he was
l'austerité.
Listening
about,
so.
Yeah.
Got it.
I would assume that mean the austerity politics that are putting half of Europe in the crapper.
Yeah.
Because they found out that cutting public programs and leaving people poor and on the streets doesn't really get you where
you're
looking
really
for. Well, that was totally my... Because I'm looking at it going, now, is that a person? Or is that a thing? Is that
what's
happening?
It's from the same people that think that if you have questions about whales in the wild, why not go to askseaworld.com?
Right. Because SeaWorld knows
everything. They know everything.
Lot.
Sure.
I cannot tell you the amount of Schadenfreude I get out of that commercial.
Schadenfreude, I love that.
I believe it. Well, speaking of leaving people poor and in the street, the city of Los Angeles has given the initial approval from the city council to raise the minimum pay in the nation's second largest city to $15 an hour by 2020.
Nice.
Hooray, hooray.
J'approuve.
Los Angeles. It's a key step as wages here in America have stagnated. If enacted, I think it's still awaiting some final approval, probably the governor. Or the mayor. Mayor would be mayor at the city
level.
I would say
if it's city, it's going to be mayor.
I think both
of us.
Clearly, I would fail that you have to graduate high school civics test.
I love that I said both of us. Like, I am both the mayor of Los Angeles and the governor of California. But both of us, j'approuve.
J'accuse.
J'accuse.
If enacted, Los Angeles would join Seattle and San Francisco as some of the largest cities in the nation with phased-in minimum wage laws that eventually require annual pay of about $31,000. Last year, Chicago passed a phased-in minimum wage increase to $13 an hour. The Los Angeles City Council voted 14-1, so nearly unanimous. There was one dickhead in the corner, but whatever.
But you're holding, he's holding
one.
Out for Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus. Mm. Right. Well, you gotta have one. I'll allow it. Judges?
I'll allow it.
Yep.
Got it.
The city council voted 14-1 after residents made impassioned statements for and against the plan that would progressively bump up the wage from the current $9 an hour, which is also the minimum for California. Today, help is on the way for 1 million Angelinos.
Los Angelinos, yes.
Is it Angelinos? Angelinos?
Yes, it is.
Help is on the way for 1 million Angelinos who live in poverty, Mayor Eric Garcetti said. The vote sent the measure to the city attorney to prepare a wage ordinance that will go to council committee. And if assuming passes, all is well. Everybody will start to be paid more and more and more.
But, all right.
Yes.
Roundtable question.
Go.
$31,000. What are you getting done on that amount of money?
More than you're getting done on $20,000.
Yes. All right. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good.
I can on $31,000, I can afford rent. I can afford possibly an inexpensive car payment, and I can afford, I don't know, weird things like food.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I mean, Los Angeles is not exactly a cheap place to live, so you're not
right. And but I mean, you could. There are cheap. Right. There are not cheap, but there are less expensive areas to go enjoy.
Absolutely.
El Centro seems to still be available.
So as a poor person myself, if I, you know what I mean, $10,000, half again your income is a significant increase.
Mm-hmm. No, that's what I needed to hear. Like, okay, yes. what did we start at? That $31,000 is now, because like, to me that you're still,
you're not doing
a family of three. You're mm-hmm. yeah, that's still got to be poverty, right?
It's not poverty mm-hmm. anymore. It's going to be tight. It's going to be, you know, if you're managing your money right, it's going to be clipping coupons and it's going to be taking the bus maybe instead of having a car.
And I'm all for that. Public transportation, a much smarter way to go because cars are needlessly expensive.
Make your choices, but you're not in destitute poverty that there's no hope in anymore.
Okay.
That's the problem when you get so poor that you just can't even afford rent and food. Like it's so hard to climb out of that.
I was going to say, because I can't fathom in LA.
Assistance or not.
Yes. Like, because in LA, I can't imagine where the fuck are you going to live? Right.
And the point of public transportation is that it's obviously a town where the rents are a little less as Palmdale. What I'm saying is, like, if you're going to do public transportation, then you have to be able to live near where you work. Right. So your wage has to meet it so that if you're going to give up a car or convenience, because car is just convenience.
Right.
Sure.
Public transportation exists in most cities to the point where...
Not especially convenient all the time and not an ideal situation.
If you have 3 hours to kill to spend, you know, I mean, if you can add an hour and a half to your workday, either way for public transportation.
But something that we don't think about, typically, out of four of us, when you have kids, when you have, things that people you have to get to.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, without a car, how do you do any kind of extra? Yeah. I mean, we did extracurricular when I was a kid because we were able to walk places.
Right.
And if you really want to do that, then you're walking there and walking home because, you know, sayonara and good, Houston, we got a problem.
Yep.
I'm going to shit on you one more time.
Please do.
Not
$9. By the way, incidentally, $9 an hour is $18,000 a year.
All right. That's unacceptable.
Right.
That's a teenager that's trying to make a car payment and save up for college. Like, that's not life.
There are a couple very...
called Walmarts.
No, there are a couple very toxic and very difficult to escape cycles in our society. One is a cycle of abuse. Okay, especially like in the case of the Duggars, like when it comes from an authority figure, when it comes from a parental figure, that's almost impossible to escape because where do you go?
Or you think it comes from God. I mean, with that level of
That whole like from the absolute authority, like if you're 8 years old, whoever your father figure is, be it brother, neighbor, sister, whatever, that's the absolute authority. Like there is no other authority. So that cycle of abuse is impossible to escape, or virtually impossible to escape without assistance.
Yeah.
Poverty is another one that is impossible to escape without assistance. If we don't start helping people out of poverty, if we don't start helping people, like, yes, it's going to kill some small businesses. I'm sorry, small businesses. You're going to have to do better, and you're going to have to manage your money better to pay your people better.
Sure. But
But
we're not, and to finish your thought, which I think we're not going to rescue Cleveland, Cincinnati,
we can't
Baltimore.
Rescue everyone, but we've got to help people.
No, but these cities are going to go under because it's not race. The problem in these cities is not race. It's poverty.
Economics.
It's because you can't get out of that cycle. Like if you got locked into that, and I agree with you completely, if you got locked into that wheel of like $9 an hour, you're not going to school.
Nope.
You're not going to a good school. You're not going to live in a neighborhood where like
Yeah.
Your worry is gun violence,
because
not like how
your parents could barely afford to feed you until you were 16, let alone through college.
Right.
Could barely afford to feed you.
Right.
Like, this is a level of poverty.
And now you have states that are, like, cutting back on, like, you can't buy ketchup. You know what I mean? Like, people have...
Right.
Now we're at the last austerity.
Right, yeah, we talked
like, you know
about that
I mean?
Yeah.
Last week about, was I think it was Wisconsin that was, like, limiting
what... serious political show
we
today.
Tonight, those
fucking Duggars. Duggars kill everything.
They kill everything.
Childhood,
humor. Yeah, childhood, everything.
Humor.
You know, and the difficult part of that is that when you think about it, especially in L.A., because everything is so much higher to begin with,
mm-hmm.
the cost of living.
Yeah.
But here, the company that I work for doing direct services for folks with developmental issues, we pay better than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And our lowest, one of our lowest paid services is $10.46 an hour.
Okay.
So many, many, many of the other agencies that are out there are truly at $8.05 because that's the minimum wage.
Right.
And some of them will be like, we pay so well at $9 or $9.50 mm-hmm. an hour. And it really is astounding. Because the cost of living here compared to L.A., for instance, is quite a bit lower. But that's still
$18,000
a year. It doesn't matter where you live. If you get paid $9 an hour, it's still $18,000
a year.
Yeah. I mean, and
yeah. It's so frustrating.
Everything I was going to say next was going to be douchey, so we'll just move on.
Fair point. I don't have a clever segue for this, but...
It would be sacrilege.
But I do have a fun picture to share.
Mm.
I'm going to share it in the chat room, and then maybe Clayton McKee can transpose that to where things need to go. We're going to click that right there.
I can try.
Well, whatever. Or you can just look at it yourself. Whatever it takes. I want you to meet Patrick, the simulated patient that talks to medical students while they're administering virtual prostate exams, offering real-time feedback throughout.
Is this a follow-up to her story from last week?
I just saw this, actually. No.
Because
I saw
when it. I saw Wait. This story, I thought of her story mm-hmm. from last week where the girls had just...
No, it's not connected at all.
It's not.
I was really just captured by seeing the image, if you would click on the link in the chat room, by seeing the image there.
I'm right up his butt.
Right. I was just captured by the image altogether.
Now we're at fingerlingus.
Right. People that are only listening will note that I'm looking at a picture of a man whose hand is up a seemingly simulated ass, which is connected to the rest of the person on a TV screen who presumably looks over his shoulder and tells you if you're doing it right.
Is he looking for keys? What's he looking for?
Yes.
Well, Patrick.
A handful of something.
The name of our robot friend there. Patrick comes equipped with software that enables him to interact.
Hardware, too, I'm sure.
It enables him to interact emotionally with students and voice any concerns he has about the procedure.
How old are these students? You're being kind of vague there, Duger.
I swear to God, if this robot says, God, your hand is cold.
Ooh, to the left.
I'll bet he does. Well, why wouldn't he?
Go to the right.
Additionally, Patrick is endowed with force sensors, which can alert the student when he or she is being too aggressive.
It's a poor choice of words right there.
And can report how thorough the student was with his or her examination.
Actually, I like the choice of words. That's good. Oh.
Yeah, the virtual human patient can talk to the learner. I'm going to tell you what it's going
to
do.
Sorry about that. Hey, I just want to shit on her.
Guilty party!
I rarely shit on her segment. I just thought it'd be fun, that's all.
This virtual human patient can talk to the learner, express fears and concerns about the prostate exam, and presents a realistic patient encounter.
Without actually sticking a transvaginal probe into another human being. This is how you know men are in charge of science.
But according to the designer, students receive minimal practice and interaction in intimate exams due to two factors. The high cost for training and the high anxiety nature of the exams, because nobody wants the med student sticking their hand up your ass.
Maybe some people want that, but most people not so much. But it was okay to do this to women. I mean,
That's right. No, I agree.
Because I saw the story like 5 days ago, and my first reaction was, we built a fucking dummy to stick our hands up his ass, but we're going to put a probe up a lady and tell her, oh, no, you'll get a bad grade if you don't do it.
Exactly, right.
Because if you lined up everybody and told her we're putting one in the stink for about an hour with a camera... I'm just thinking.
We're shoving sensors into your ass. Oh, wait, you can tell us. No.
Right?
No.
Good Lord. All right, so everybody call science.
Call science.
Oh, it's terrifying.
And let them know that we need this for all intimate procedures.
Yeah. Well, okay. I do have to make a confession.
There's a couple of websites.
Are we a safe space?
Every now and again, he just goes to the doctor.
I think there are a couple of websites that are already selling objects like this as buddies, if you know what I'm saying. You know, personal friends.
Sacrilege.
Yeah, probably costs a lot less than this guy. And it's a lousy use of a flat screen TV, according to this picture.
Oh, well, I mean.
Wow.
It's for science, Clayton.
Of course it is, yeah. Blinding me with science.
May I just tell you, during nursing school, there were some problems with the simulation dummy. I meant no disrespect.
They have their issues.
I'm sure she could hold a job and take tickets at a movie theater or wear a jet ski with a strap. All kinds of things. But there was a little question about how to find a place to put a catheter in the lady parts for urine. So I was like, because we went to school in a bad part of town, I'm like, can't we go outside and just offer somebody like $50 to like wash their vagina for the day and put this
in? I'm going to wash your vagina.
And I was never really understanding why the teachers were offended by the question. But I'm like, seriously, they're going to get a good bathing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Happy customers. Happy seller. And we learn something. Who loses? You know what I mean? It was turned down almost immediately. But request denied.
So, oh, Lord.
I don't know why.
Just to let you know.
All right.
I really don't have any moral high ground on this, like NASCAR or Honey Boo Boo's mom.
It's okay. Hey, that's right. It's all about
or other virtuous
Mama June,
people in her previous
Mama
stories.
June will let you know.
I don't want to know her name.
In what I think will probably be my final story tonight, it's more of a public service announcement.
Don't go to school on Washington.
No, I just want to let you know that this exists. The world's first naked barber will trim your back, sack, and crack.
Please put a link in the room. Please. Put a link.
Sacrilege.
Before you do anything else, post that link, my dear.
Oh, an aunt has a question.
Oh, good. An aunt, do it.
Probably bad timing.
Yeah. I'm not sure where he has heard up to, but that was very disconcerting.
My God.
Wasn't that fun? Yeah. I loved the headline altogether. Yeah. In fact, I love it so much I'm going to read it again.
Do it again.
World's first.
Prepare
yourself. Are you ready?
Okay.
World's first naked barber will trim your back, sack, and crack.
Not safe for work, by the way. It says right there.
By the way, $49.95.
It says the one downside. I don't even think it says how much.
There is a video. I would assume holy going shit. Right.
The one downside to getting a haircut is all the trimmings that get caught in your clothes. Well, Dick Savvy has the perfect
Dick
solution.
Savvy.
Shut
Come on.
Up.
Come on.
Shut it.
Get
Come
your
on.
Hair,
Stop.
Get your hair Sacrilege. Did in the buff. Savvy, who bills himself as the naked barber, will trim any hair from your head,
Dick
from your head to your nuts, in a jock strap or less. His most popular service, unsurprisingly, is the scrotum shave.
Aww.
He says,
I do not want a scrotum shave.
That was kind of a cute pun.
I do not want, I know, it was unintentional, it was a spell check.
I like it.
I do not want a straight razor near my nutsack.
For real.
Yeah. Two things.
Right.
Two things.
Both of them don't want a straight razor near them.
No.
Two elegant
questions.
I kind of
want to be friends with Dick Savvy on Facebook.
I feel like you should find
him. I have to seek
I want to
out.
Start every day with Dick Savvy.
Dick Savvy.
I have a question.
That's right.
Right.
Go ahead. Dick Savvy.
Dick
continue.
Savvy says,
Pray continue.
I get a lot of customers who don't have the best bodies, so being what I would call an average bloke is probably a lot better than if I was some spunky model. You'd intimidate guys, explains the Aussie groomer. The idea of putting his clients in a sling came from attempting to groom their privates perfectly. You have to get into these...
It's
different
called the
areas.
Lithotomy position.
Right.
Oh.
Ladies will know
there
that.
There are straps involved in this. I'm watching the video now.
There's a video?
There is a video.
Click the link, scroll
I
down.
Can't. I can't.
It's
you
okay.
Can.
You don't have to. But you know.
You don't need to watch.
Well, here you go. Just
best.
Just that.
Best Spanx.
Ever.
Yeah, that's all you needed right
best
there.
Best Spanx ever. Is that
that's
what you said?
All I needed. You have to get into these different areas.
Right. So, you know, I want people to be aware that these things are out there. Sadly.
In there,
up there.
Do one more story.
Digging in the thing.
Oh.
Do one more story.
Feel a slight pressure.
That was my piece to the resistance. That's all I got.
Yeah. What's up?
How in the hell are you going to get through that?
I don't know. And is there a weight limit?
No.
Apparently not. Apparently.
No. It's a sling with steel chains and leather. You're fine.
Again,
fine.
Is there a weight limit, I say?
No.
It's fine.
You don't know.
I mean, good on him for finding a niche, if you will.
I think part of the service is he gets into your niche.
He gets into all the niches.
Cleans
in fact.
It right out.
That absolutely was a spit take. I can't believe that. Mm. That was what took the spit take.
Wow.
Oh, well, that's terrifying.
I thought that's a guy who's thinking outside the box.
He certainly
that's
is.
That's a guy who's looking out
near the box. Well, he's thinking near the box, if you will.
It depends on, you know, who's in the sling, I guess.
I suppose.
God damn, that's terrifying. I'm loving it.
What else did I have?
I don't know, but that's awful.
I find some interesting things to bring. You know, this segment is fantastic.
As you're looking, I just wanted to throw out there that...
Go ahead. Do you have something you'd like to talk about?
Well, because obviously I'm on a 19-track mind, but I just wanted you to know that Jim Bob, because as you do, have someone named Jim Bob.
James Robert, probably.
Well, no, Jim Bob Duggar. Anyway, he pushed for incest to be a real capital crime in 2002 Senate bill.
Did you hear this one?
Hey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this
that
is where
Jim Bob is dad to Josh Duggar, who molested his children. And apparently,
he wanted capital punishment for incest. I think he meant the girls that were incestuous, not the male that was doing it.
Probably, not the guy, because it's never the guy's problem.
Anyway, I saw that and went, oh, my God. The end.
An aunt, I was once waxed from neck to toe.
Wow.
on a day for a drag procedure that went on, and it was the most torturous things I have ever encountered. Mm. Thank God I have no feeling in my underarms, because everyone says that was the worst part, and I just don't have. I for some reason the nerve endings don't reach my underarms. No. I didn't feel it, but like the back of the legs. The nipular area was
nipular.
Horrific.
I've actually never waxed at all. I've never experienced
it was,
the wax.
And I had done the procedure. I had done everything in advance to like shave, you know, clip it all back at one point, let it grow in the 3/4 of an inch,
whatever it's supposed to be.
Oh my God.
I can't fathom.
So much liquor. And I brought in a bottle of vodka for me.
I need an IV.
Don't do it.
Only thing I ever had, eyebrows. That's the only thing I'm doing.
And that's horrible. No, that's bad enough.
I tell you, eyebrows and ears. I've learned the joy of that. Yeah. They slather that in there and let it go.
One
and
rip
down. Yeah. I can see that. I need a more local area.
Yeah. I need a more local waxist.
And for some men, that could be smaller.
Because the person that does my waxes is just on the other side of... Where it's too far to ride my bike to. Like, I find her to be on the outskirts of town for me.
Yeah, no, I'm with Anant. That's a
get
Chinese
you to
winter.
Like more local people if you need that.
Anant, I did the bikini line. In case you didn't hear me, it was neck to toe.
It was tits to toes, man.
There were scrotum involved.
Not yours?
What were you wearing
terrible.
If you needed to do that?
Yes, that was my next question.
Once in for a penny, in for a pound, we say in London.
Good work.
I'm going all the way.
Me and Margaret Thatcher have been saying that for years.
Fair enough. Nipular.
Yes, it is. It is a medical term. I will address. I will admit that too.
Fuck.
Madness.
So no questions.
I've got nothing.
The peanut gallery. Nothing. No questions. Because I think we tackled religion too.
We did really well in religion.
I thought Anand had a question.
Perhaps.
Oh, he did, but I thought it was one that we had already covered.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, it was. And I don't remember.
Oh no, he asked if we think it will be that robotic asses will be used for other simulations. I think that day is already here.
I feel like that already happens. Yeah. In fact, I think for $250, I'll get you a link.
You might need to increase your browser, because I think that guy could substitute his finger for anything he wanted to.
Sure.
And the guy could turn around and be like, "Give it to me, Daddy."
I'm pretty sure in the picture that we're looking at,
he went all super freak Rick James. Oh. Give it to me, baby.
Nice.
I'm pretty
sure in the picture we're looking at, he's a full-on fist right now anyway.
Yeah,
like.
No, full-on.
All right, Richard, I have to tell you how funny I find periods in writing, because it gets it across. Good period, fucking period, Christ period, Anna period, cross period. That is not okay.
Hashtag. That is not okay. I like it.
Yeah, you got a hashtag.
Richard, I got to tell you.
Are we...
We're a full 20 minutes. Let's do our thoughtfulness.
All right.
Yeah. Happy birthday to Stevie Nicks. Today.
Hey!
Stand back.
And we just want to say goodnight to Dolores DeLago.
Which was
a year ago, but.
All right, we need a minute for this one. Do not hit that button. We have got to
that
say
was a, big deal.
A great good evening and.
Yes.
A final good night to one Dolores DeLago.
To the perfume counter for her.
The toast of Chicago. Ooh. The question before us is, where's her clitoris? I have to tell you. Now, I was like 5 or 6 years into my love of the Divine Miss M when the Divine Madness came out.
Sure.
Where, might you ask, was that aired?
Anybody? I like his question.
Anybody? Anybody?
Negative.
HBO.
Thank you.
Just a guess.
Yes. Well played, sir.
Yes,
or
yes,
ma'am.
Sewer or ma'am. Sewery or ma'am.
Sewer ma'am?
And I have to tell you, when she got on that fucking wheelchair and did everything she did, and
amazing.
I was changed. I was a new person. And from the Live at Last concert.
Okay.
Oh my, can I boogie? Can I boogie? Can I fucking boogie? What kind of question is that? Of course I can boogie. And I remember as like a 6-year-old, no, probably 8-year-old kid walking around, can I boogie? What kind of fucking question is that? And my mom was like, what? Please, God, let this. Refund policies. Yeah. How do we? Like,
you can't unhear that.
Oh my God. And I had no idea what any of the words, but I just thought it was so funny, her intonation. Can I boogie? What kind of a fucking question is that? And I did, like, my mom would just be sitting there flipping a pancake, being like, can I go to work now? Like, do they need me there? Like, and you could just see the look on her face of like, I don't know. We'd have to babysit him if we cancel the cable.
We'd have to spend more time with him.
That's funny. And he's certainly not going to use less F-bombs hanging around with us. But he's not going to say fuck. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's not going to be in the middle of it. There's not going to be 7 extra letters in the word fuck. Yeah. But and she wouldn't see it till like years later. I'd be like, watch this. They're playing Live at Last again. And what kind of fucking question is that? Just, oh my God. Just had to do it. Okay, well, I like what we're getting.
I do too.
All right, let's go.
All right, here we go.
All right.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
Good luck.
All right, well, Marina, you can't possibly act surprised now because it's written right in front of you. But describe one experience you've had where you took a huge leap of faith.
The day I woke up and went to the Winx reunion, 2005.
Jesus, God.
Because you weren't sure how chili was going to taste?
I didn't know.
I think I know this.
You think you know my answer?
No, no, your answer. I don't know anything about your answers.
Goddamn answer.
Barely knows who you are. How is he going to know what your answer is?
He doesn't have a clue who I am.
Can't stand Will. I think I'm going to feel about his brother.
That barely knows who she is.
Thank you.
I just don't know her name. I'm pretty clear about what she's into.
All right, repeat the question.
She's got her socks on through, whatever it is.
Not now.
Repeat the question, she said.
Please.
Describe one experience you've had where you took a huge leap of faith.
Oh, no.
Don't do it so sarcastically. Asking. We're getting new viewers.
Describe one experience you've had where you took a huge leap of faith.
Thank you, Al.
There was even a lot of eye movement in that one.
I liked it.
I see. You animated through parts of that.
Is what it was.
Moving to Arizona. Moving to Arizona. And I'm going to actually say the second time.
And pourquoi?
And the second time.
Pourquoi?
Right. Pourquoi? The reason... the first time that I moved down here was with a friend, and there were a bunch of us then that came down. We were here for about 6 months. And then I moved back to Minnesota. It was only in 6 months. Like, within 6 months, I was back there, you know, and was needing to not be there, but at the same time, it was just... the best thing that ever happened to me in going back, which I thought that I was taking huge steps backwards by returning home. And it was the best thing that I had ever done. I got into the field that I'm in now by doing that. And then a year and a half later, it was about a year and a half later, I said, I need to go back. I need to wake up where I see palm trees. I need to wake up where that with the sun and everything else. It was just one of the most brilliant things, but it scared the shit out of me that I was going to fail a second time,
in
leaving and coming back, and so that didn't happen, and life has just been really quite something.
And luckily, family came out here with you, so that makes it a different
It did. And I met truly, because I have such amazing people.
Well, sure, you enjoyed junior high. What's going to go wrong after that?
Right? I mean, I still have such wonderful people back in Minnesota that are my family. But I was able to come here and meet the rest of my family and kind of really make a neat life and meet Aaron and have the house, and just it's just wonderful being down here. So yeah. Anyway, that's all. The end.
Very good.
The end.
Coming and at here, some point you got to a huge
leap of faith.
Some kind of a chili cook-off.
Well, that was in 2005, but I mean,
Dr. Ben Carlson.
Wait, I feel like candidate for president. I feel like I need a longer shot for this.
Well, of course,
that's nice. I always feel like I need a longer stick.
How do you feel about
Cleveland?
I don't need my stick for that.
Well.
I'm not sure how other people do it, but I think every
when a man and a woman love each other very much,
and one of them has a longer stick.
Okay, I'm gonna shit on my own thing for a minute. Right. So I'm at this golf outing thing on Saturday, right? And then I'll answer the question. I'm at this golf outing thing on Saturday, and I've got the selfie stick because, like, you do.
Well,
right?
Yeah.
And so there's a dinner like in the evening, so everybody like golfs during the day, and then the wives come at night. And everybody has dinner, and there's like games and silent auctioning, whatever, right? So I'm there, and I'm selfie sticking around, and people are like, "Oh my god, I've heard about these, and oh, I haven't seen one," and la la la. And one woman, honest God, didn't realize what she was saying at first. She looks at me, and she's like, "Oh my god, I've heard about these, but I didn't realize that the shaft was so big." And I looked at her, and I was like,
"Yeah,
now you know." And she just like read it right up.
Oh, that's good.
That's good work. I like
me some boozy bombs.
That's funny stuff.
Yeah.
The shaft is so big, which is really a golf club reference.
It really
technically.
Is.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
All right. She was looking at my shaft. That's all I know.
Detachable.
Right? So to answer the question about the leap of faith, I don't know how other people make large changes in their life, but every one of mine that's like a landmark, that is like a timekeeper in my life, has been just a blind, like, close your eyes and jump kind of a leap. You know, like, I've moved cross country twice. Both times didn't know where I was going. You know,
I'm thinking a map might be helpful in your future.
No, one time I was
vagabond.
When I moved from Salt Lake,
that story we've heard,
to Pennsylvania,
Pennsylvania. We've been waiting for the sequel.
Yeah. Well, coming back, you know, Sharon and I had been together like maybe a year, and she worked for Wells Fargo, and they were transferring her, and so it was that. You know, that moment where
should
it's like,
should I go?
We're either done or we're going to go do this together. And she had been for a couple of visits, but I had never been to Phoenix. We found our apartment online. We did, you know, very little planning. And I just, you know, I looked and said, okay, we're going to go. And we're going to do it. And then when I changed from boring insurance work to bar work so many years ago, I did the same kind of thing. I sat on it for a couple of days, and then I closed my eyes, and I jumped, and I quit my job, and I went.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everything landmark that I've done in my life has been giant leap of faith, and there have been several.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think on our religion topic, I think the leap of faith is a big thing, because... Mm-hmm. That is your belief in yourself to say, all right, I'm just taking the jump.
Yeah.
And it's a religious term, but it's something that applies with or without religion, that you just have to take it.
Close your eyes and hold your nose and jump.
Yep.
And just
and
just,
believe here we it'll go. Be okay.
Or it might not be,
or
but
it might not.
Here
but
we go anyway.
But yeah. better typically to believe it that it's this right. is going to be all right.
Mine's very similar to Marn's, from the standpoint of, I think the best thing was to move to Phoenix, and use the same phrase, the leap of faith. The leap of faith was in my mom and believing that what she was telling me was right. That moving, there's this out here and there's that out here and there's the great weather. She just gave me the entire list of everything that was going to be beneficial about living in Phoenix. And I know now that she knew what I didn't think anybody else knew about the real reason to get you out of Joplin, Missouri, and move you to a larger metropolitan city wasn't because
y'all need to meet some gays outside the hair salon.
It wasn't palm trees and beautiful weather. That was a That was a perk. But the other was, you need to move to a bigger city because you need to figure out yourself and you're not going to do it in that city. And I didn't realize it at the time, but obviously that was the hidden agenda, if you will, for what she was doing. So, and it was a leap of faith. I came out here and I hated it because my network that I had built so wonderfully in back home was gone. I knew nothing. I knew no one. So I went back and it took me about a year and a half.
It's that big fish, small pond feeling right. That it's always hard
and
to
then
leave.
Once I got out here, I get the second time, when I, and literally it was, here's the flight I'm on, pick me up. I mean, that was kind of what it was. So, and then once I got here, and obviously, I mean, 22 years later, I got a hell of a network and
a
lot
of
friends.
22 years for a long time. Is it really just 22 years?
June of 93.
Oh, okay.
Coming up on 22. Mm-hmm.
The math works.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. No matter how you slice it. So, but that would be my largest one. I mean, there are other smaller ones around here and there where you quit a job and you go do something else. But if we're talking about the big kahuna of leaps, it's got to be the one.
So you both had failed attempts. Your stories are so similar. It's kind
well,
of
that's
shocking.
The other fucked up thing about us is there are so many similarities between the
really
two of us.
Are.
Numbers of letters and names, mothers' names, the parental situations. There's a lot of that.
Yeah. Sperm donor.
And grandpa.
Ages. There's
grandparents. Death days. All kinds of stuff.
We're both from
all
states that start with an M. There's so many other squirrely ass things that go.
We don't believe in any states that start with M.
Yeah. Well, they're okay. And end in a vowel.
Yeah.
Because there's only the 13 colonies, Florida, because your grandmother lives there in California, because something's going on there.
Right.
Okay. Wow. A leap of faith for me would be very similar, and it was for a slightly different reason. And I knew because of the relationship with my mom being so bad the last couple years I lived at home that I knew a change, you know, change is going to come kind of thing. I knew something had to give. And then when I came out here for vacation, I came back and I said to my, well, there was the whole thing about the statue of Lincoln and the guy that I was in love with and all that stuff and it not going right because there being two statues of Lincoln in the same fucking park.
But I'm not bitter.
Deeply cleansed. So I said to my mom at one point, I'm like, you know, I'm moving. It's time to move out. And my mom was like, Buffalo or Phoenix? Like, where are you going? Because Tim was out here and she knew that like everything that I knew and loved was in Buffalo. Like everybody pretty much had been like, if you need to find Al, he's probably in Buffalo, you know, at the bars, the parks,
sure.
Clean white woman parks, not right. not gay, dirty
not
things. I'm always a clean white woman in all of these
in
stories.
Every story.
Of
yes.
course you
my
are.
Favorite thing about you.
Conveniently.
There's a little part of my history that doesn't include a clean white woman, but most of them do. So, and I said Phoenix, and I just quit, you know, gave notice at my job, did everything I was supposed to do, made all the arrangements with no plan. Mm-hmm. I had nowhere to live. I knew I wasn't going to school because I had to establish residency to go to ASU in January. It was months away. And as the day came that I was leaving and Tim was home to visit his family and we were going to drive back to Arizona together, and my dad would have had this thing where we would sit. I would sit in what we always called my mom's chair. He would sit in his chair in the living room and we would watch movies together and we were watching something and my dad just turned on the volume and he said, you know, we're very sad that you're going. He's like, but you drive your mother crazy and it's time for you to get out of the house. Yeah. And I was like, yep.
Yeah.
That's probably true. Aww. And it was a little bit hurtful, but a little bit like shockingly honest from my dad to be like, this relationship between you and your mother is so toxic. Like this cannot go on another
time
minute.
For
like
you to go,
none of us can live with it. If you move next door, things will be better. Like you just can't live here
under this roof.
Yeah.
And it was.
And you were how old again?
19, just barely. Like I'm 19 in like 20 days.
Yeah.
But I have to say that everything was almost immediately repaired by the end of the street. Like it was just. I just don't live well under other people's rules or other people's schedules or other people's ideas of what's going on. I just have my own timeline and time frame and when I think I need to check in with you. And now as an adult, as I look back at what I did to my mom, I'm like, oh my God, I was like, that's a
Jesus
horrible,
Christ, right.
That's a horrible thing. Like she should have sent out like 17 Amber alerts, called the cops about 150 times. I just disappeared for days on end because I just like my own. And it wasn't that I was trying to be disrespectful. I was just on an adventure with different people, with doing new people thing, and right. doing my thing. And I just never thought of anyone else's feelings through it. And it's very hard to say, like...
Well, because that's a very common thing for a 19-year-old to not be a narcissistic teenager. Right.
And just not understand. And it was one of those things where the relationship was resolved and healthy. They came to Vegas 5 months later. June to October, what is that, 4 months?
Mm-hmm.
4 months later, they came to Vegas, and we were instantly,
4 or 5 months.
The three of us, it was just my parents, I brought a guy that I liked with me, and I wanted him to be my boyfriend, but he wasn't, but oh my God, we only slept together, but we weren't dating, but I was just, and they were so like, okay, you know, I've told the story about my dad taking in the bathroom, what's your name, what do we call you, I know you have fake ID, and my mom being like, is this someone we have to be nice to, and I'm like, you're on board with the gating. They're like, yes, but you just weren't on board with the disappearing for constant days on end. Like, just check in with us. And in Arizona, I would check in all the time. Like, hey, what are you doing? Because I miss them. So I would call them. Both of them, I didn't fucking miss them.
Right.
But it was the biggest leap of faith to know that I could, like, that my family's relationship could heal through just a continent. Wow. All we needed was 20-some states between us.
Right.
And it really is. And it really is... And as like Aaron in the chat room was saying about a heart transplant, like it's just that big jump in life that you make. And mine was never thinking that it would heal. I never thought that that would be a part of it. Mine was just to get away from people asking me questions. I just could not. I just can't take it.
Right.
And then as life went on, my sister says, like, I don't know. She says it all the time. She's like, I don't know anybody who needs to be by themselves as much as you do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, oh, I love being around people, but like, can I have like 3 weeks by myself?
Yeah, you and Aaron have that in common. My Aaron.
Yeah.
That in complete common. Yeah.
Like, it's just like, I know. I mean, it's
she just
nice
shuts
that you
down and is like,
yeah, and it just let's just all be by ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
well, I'm glad we all took the different leap of faith to come here.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah, and ended up not where
it'd
we're
be a
from.
Different table, you know.
Oh yeah, very much.
Well, I think the table might be the same, but the people around it might
you
be
don't
slightly
know.
Different.
You don't know. Right.
This table might have been built with or without us. So, just for Anand,
like checking a out. I'm checking out a group show.
Like, just very quickly in 10 seconds or less. Just tell Anand, like, when it comes to coming out your family, like, what did you think was the hardest part really quickly? Like, what scared you the most? What was the most terrifying part?
The most terrifying part was that people were going to disown and that people were going to say, you know, fuck you, I'm not going to accept that. Whether it was my mom, whether it was friends, whatever that might look like. And I was horrified that that was going to happen.
But would you have survived without that?
Knowing what I know now, yes. Okay. At the time, and for being, and it's not about an age, it's not about anything else.
But I always think of that stuck in the moment you can't get out of,
And
cutting you off, time's up. Kayla Carson.
The scariest part of coming out is probably going to be the same for everybody. It was the, just the idea, that all of this could go away. Like, all of the things that I know, the family, the friends, the whatever, could just be gone. And luckily it wasn't for me. My mother cried and we were strained for a couple of years, but we handled it.
Yeah.
The disappointing of other people, that was really the thing, because I had such a great relationship with everybody, and I was a liked kid by the family and by everybody, and I just was afraid of disappointing the people that I cared about the most.
Interesting in this, because Aaron just asked a question that you both have to get back to him on about a niece coming out.
Yes, and I apologize,
so
Aaron,
we have to get back to.
Yes.
Mine was, Tim just verbalized it last week for the first time that I ever heard somebody verbalize the thought, is that you can't take it back.
Oh, sure. Like, yeah, you can't put that back.
Like, now I think there's more fluidity to sexuality than there was back then.
Sure.
But my fear back then was like, what if I say this and...
it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't want to do this. Like, what if...
And it doesn't stay... Oh, sure.
What if the analingus thing isn't for me? Anyways, so...
Right. Well, and I think in India, as opposed to in America, it's completely different.
Oh, and every culture is different.
Right. Every culture
absolutely.
But, and I always... listen to that song, here. Stuck in a Moment, You Can't Get Out Of. It's by U2. And to me, it captures so many things. But it's called Stuck in a Moment, You Can't Get Out Of. And that's what taking it back means to me.
We got everybody in there.
There she did it. That's a great way to get cats.
So now
phone.
Watch us on Periscope.
There's that.
Ustream.
Well, all right, everybody.
YouTube.
Jenny and Aaron and Anant and Richard and
Aaron
everybody else and
Tomo
all in the chat room. Thank you once again for all joining us every week. We do it from 7 to 10 Arizona time, whatever time it is where you are. Well, you found us, and thank you for doing that. I don't know what else to say, but again... I'm here with Kat Carlson, Marnie Meyer, Al Perkins. I'm Clayton McKee. It's Q-Talk America. We will leave you with this. How about we'll see ya
next Tuesday!
You still fucked it up.
I even wrote it down.
Listening to the show on Q-Talk America.